जयं विश्वपादपरमं सपरिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशतश्रीश्रीमान् अभयचरणारविन्द भक्तिवेदान्त गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जयं नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट विश्वपादपरमं सपरिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशतश्री श्रीमान् भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की अनंतकोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य शील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरवरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकावरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की ओम प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज All glories to assembled devotees, all glories to assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru, Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Namah Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasaya Bhudale, Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swamini Dinamine, Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prajarini, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, Pashacharya Deshadarini. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिदां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन कृतिदां पुराण मुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्ददामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे पुल्लारविन्दायकवत्रनेत्रा येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णप्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीप प्रपन्नपारिजाताय तोत्रवेत्रैकवाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दन पार्थो वल्स सुदीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महद् वसुदेव सुतं देवं कंसच्चानूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं भीष्मद्रोणदला जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोल्पल शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाहुल अश्वत्थामा विकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोतीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तक केशव पाराशर्यवज सरोजमलं गीतार्थगन्धोल्कटं नानाख्यानकेसरं हरिकदा सम्बोधनाबोधितं लोकैः सज्जनषल्पदैरहरः पीपीयमानं मुदा भूयात् भारतमङ्गजकलिमल प्रध्वंसिनश्रेयसे मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपादमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुदस्त्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैस्तवैर्वेदै साङ्गपदै क्रम उपनिषदैर्गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थितद्गदेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरा सुरगणै देवाय तस्मै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द So, last Sunday we were saying about that Nyeyam verse, Jnanam Nyeyam. Nyeyam yattat pravakshyami yal jnatvam amritam ashnute anadi malparam brahmam nasat tannas duchyate. Very famous verses. Nyeyam yattat pravakshyami yal jnatvam amritam ashnute अनादि मल्परम ब्रह्म नसल तन्नासुदुच्यते. सो थिंग इज दैट द एक्शंस ऑफ द बॉडी द थॉट्स इन द माइंड एंड द डीप स्लीप स्टेट सुषुप्ति ऑफ द कारण शरीरम causal body. These things does not touch the soul, antaryami, inside, right? But he is the adhishtanam. Adhishtanam means he is the foundation. Unless he is present there, these three states won't happen in us. Vacant state, dream state and the deep sleep. These three states won't happen in us unless the antaryami is present inside. So therefore, he is already available to us. In other words, that is why Prahlad said that, Vasudev said that, Krishna has said that in the Ekadasham, Kevala Anubhava Ananda Surupam. Kevala Anubhava Ananda Surupam. He's already available to us. It's not that he has to come from elsewhere, anywhere else. He's already there inside us. Right? And in simple terms, what it means is, Krishna is not something that you have to work hard to get it. He's already there within us. It's just what is lacking in us is recognition of or awareness of his existence inside. Antaryami's existence inside. That is why this Antaryami Upasana is spoken in the Upanishad so strongly to make us aware that normally people in this world believe that I have to work hard to get something. And after, it's a result of my hard work it comes. In spiritual life, it is says that Krishna is not something you get by hard work. Hard work is not the thing behind that. It is how quickly you recognize Antaryami's presence inside. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the 10th chapter, you will find Krishna is saying that Adhyatma Vidya Vidyanam, of all the knowledge of the soul is the most important one. Adhyatma Vidya Vidyanam, he says. Among all the Vidya, Adhyatma Vidya is the most important one. So, the effort what you put in is actually to create the Shraddha inside us, our attention to fall on the Antaryami. That is why Krishna said in the 4th chapter, Shraddhavan Labhade Jnanam. Krishna is saying that, isn't it? Shraddhavan Labhade Jnanam, he says. Yeah. Shraddhavan Labhade Jnanam Talpara Samyadendriya. Jnanam Labdhva Param Shadim Ajirenadi Gachari. So that Shraddha, waking up, is more important than hard work. That waking up, right? In order to wake us up, all this effort, what we put it in, right? So the Vastu, Krishna, is already there. Our attention has not fallen on him. Our attention is in the world outside. So to pull the attention back from the world and to drop the attention on the Antaryami inside. So, and that Shraddha is what Krishna is saying here in the last verse, Adhyatma Jnana Nityatvam. Remember? 11th verse, first line. Shri Bhagavan Vaja, Adhyatma Jnana Nityatvam. Adhyatma Jnana Nityatvam means to put our Shraddha on the Antaryami, to give attention to the presence of Krishna inside Antaryami. So, if the Shraddha goes away elsewhere, in other directions, then every moment, for every time it falls away from the Antaryami, then what will happen? It will go and identify with the body. With the body. Or it will identify with the mind. And as soon as you identify with the body and the mind, prarabdham will come back. And prarabdham will burn us in that process. Right? So, this is the subtle side of that. Yeah. So, if our attention falls away from Antaryami elsewhere into the world or into the body or to the mind, immediately the prarabdham will be back. So, prarabdham is waiting outside to capture us in that way and to make us run in this world, right? So, that is what this word Adhyatma Jnana Nityatvam means. Krishna puts it in two words, Adhyatma Jnana Nityatvam, he said. But what is Adhyatma Jnana Nityatvam? Adhyatma Jnana Nityatvam means our attention never moves away from the Antaryami, right? And then what happens when you come out, you see the world outside. which is Vyavaharam. World is Vyavaharam, right? And what is the rule there? The rule is that in order to protect yourself from the impact of the world on us, you require some protection for that. And if you have that protection, then you won't get affected by the world outside, right? And you won't see this world as we are seeing now. Just like if you have a glasses with a green or reddish color, you will see the world according to that color, is it not? Similarly, if you have this shield, if you wear that shield, which is spoken in the Bhagavatam as Narayana Kavacham, and in the Yoga Vasishtam as Brahma Kavacham, it is the same thing. That's why that verse is important, Narayana Kavacham. Yadahi Bhagavaneva Vastuda Sadasa Chayat. It says there, isn't it? In the sixth chapter, in the Narayana Kavacham, Yadahi Bhagavaneva Vastuda Sadasa Chayat. Satyananena Sarve Yandunasha Upadravaha. Famous words. That is the very message of Narayana Kavacham. A covering on us that everything what you see in this world is Krishna. Nothing else here. Yadahi Bhagavan Eva Vasudha Sad Asad. Both Sad and Asad. Everything is Krishna. No, nothing else here. Satyananena Sarve. Realizing this truth. Yandunasha Upadravaha. No Upadravam comes to me. No problems I should have in dealing with the world, right? So that one verse, Yadahi Bhagavan Eva Vastuda Sadasat Sadasat Chayat, right? So, if we are able to translate that into life, right, all other verses in the Narayana Kavacham is just a stuti. But that is the core message of Narayana Kavacham. Yadahi Bhagavan Eva Vastuda Sadasat Chayat, right? So that no trouble from the world disturbs me, affects me, right? So, mainly, how does the world bother us, affects us? In two different ways it does. One, due to my own problems inside, my own impurities in the heart, right? Or my weaknesses, you can say. Sometimes you see a few people whom you are not very familiar with, right? Few people whom you know in this world. So, people whom you don't know, you will see them namarupam. You will see their namarupam. People whom you know, what will happen? You will have some relationship through emotional level. People whom you know. People whom you do not know, with them, our relationship is just namarupam, name and form, that's all. We don't know them. But people with whom you have relationship in some form, some familiarity, in that way, either there will be attachment or there will be hate inside. And, or, when you get into contact with them, it will create some thoughts inside, right? And if any thoughts comes in, that will stay inside. And this is how we collect vasanas in the world. Due to our interaction with people with whom you are, either you like them or you don't like them, which way? Ragadvesham will always be there. Through ragadvesham, vasanas are created, and that vasanas we collect it. And so outside things, suppose if you don't see anyone or anything in this world without attachment or aversion, or if you don't give importance to namarupam, then nothing will get inside. This is the secret behind that. When you have familiarity or contact with anyone, and if you have some attachment or aversion inside, ragadvesham inside, either you like them or you hate them. This will come inside, naturally. And that will create vasanas inside. Whereas if you don't see them, with satya buddhi, that you are not accepting them, you have no relationship with them, connection with them, just seeing the namarupam only, but there is no ragadvesham towards them, then you are not giving importance to the namarupam, then nothing will get inside. You are free from vasanas then. But when we do vyavaharam, it doesn't happen that way. Vyavaharam, it doesn't happen that way, right? So, because we do vyavaharam with avidya, with ajnanam or avidya, therefore, due to that, while doing vyavaharam, you have liking for someone, and you have attraction and repulsion from with the different people, right? Or you can say envy can come, hate can come, and at that time, you are not actually dealing with the person anymore. You are dealing with these emotions. When you have a relationship with someone with this mode of love or hate, then the person has gone from that. It has become, love and hate has taken the prominence, right? So the person whom I hate, for example, he is nothing but for me at that time, it's an external manifestation of the hate what is inside me. The hate what is inside me, its external manifestation is that form, right? And as soon as I see him, I feel hatred towards him, right? So, and he is only an expression of my hate or my envy, whatever that is, right? And as soon as I see him, I will feel envious about him, right? So, in this way, if this whole creation continuously creates this inside us, so if we don't learn how to dissolve this world, it will continuously create trouble for me in creating vasanas inside, right? And it will continuously throughout life, it will affect me, right? It will keep my mind disturbed about that, as Arjuna said, Chanjalam Himana Krishna, right? So, even if you perform some meditation, as soon as you come out of the meditation, this fluctuation of the mind will start building up again, right? So, it is for that purpose that the mind does not get disturbed by that. Every now and then, Narayana Kavacham says, Yadahi Bhagavan Eva Vastuda Sadasa Chayat Satya Naneva Haun Naneva Nasarve Yandu Nasha Ubadravaha Yadahi Bhagavaneva. There is only Krishna here. Vastuda Sad Asad Chayat Satya Nanena Nasarve Yandu Nasha Ubadravaha. That strong stress on that knowing that there is only Krishna here, knowing that truth, yadu nasha ubhadravaha, that should not disturb me, right? So, whether it is good or bad, sat or asat, both, both of them, sat asat, right? Some things you like, some things you don't like. So whatever things you like or whatever things you don't like, all of them, Yadahi Bhagavan Eva, everything is Krishna here. And knowing this, accepting that situation, vastustiti, right, let all problems don't disturb me, right? So that is the principle behind that. And these two sampradayams are there. One is like this, that due to realization which you have developed through self inquiry, or if your attention is on the Antaryami inside, Krishna calls that as the Adhyalpa Jnanam. Adhyalpa Jnanam means focused on the Antaryami inside. If the attention is on the Antaryami inside, that's Adhyalpa Jnanam. Right? Then, when you come to Vyavaharam in the world, to able to see everything in this world as Krishna's Swarupam, when you start seeing like that, that is Tattva Jnanartha Darshanam. See the two words he has used there in the last verse? In the 11th chapter verse, what is Adhyalpa Jnana Nityatvam? Adhyalpa Jnana Nityatvam is realizing that Krishna is the Antaryami inside. So, through self, through that understanding that Krishna is present inside as Antaryami, that is Adhyalpa Jnana Nityatvam. And then when you deal with the world, when you are dealing with the world outside, its impact on us is reduced completely by Tattva Jnanartha Darshanam. What is that Tattva Jnanartha Darshanam? This verse in the Narayana Kavacham. That it's only Krishna present in the world outside. Nothing. Everything is Krishna at the end. To come to that realization. Adhyalpa Jnana Nityatvam for inside, Tattva Jnanartha Darshanam for the world outside, while dealing with the world. That is how that verse is. Edal jnanam iti proktam, ajnanam tadananyatha. This is knowledge, Krishna says. Everything else is ignorance. Yeah. So, that is the important point, right? So, internally, self-realization, knowledge of the self, internally, Krishna's presence inside as Antaryami, and culturing that knowledge, that is Adhyalpa Jnana Nityatvam. Outwardly in the world, while dealing with the world, not to create vasanas and other impressions inside, for that, Tattva Jnanartha Darshanam, that Krishna is present in everybody. And therefore, this ragadvesham don't happen, vasanas don't build up, and that way you escape from the world outside. This is the subtle side of that verse. Adhyalpa Jnana Nityatvam Tattva Jnanartha Darshanam Edal Jnanam Iti Proktam Ajnanam Tadananyatha. Krishna saying, this is knowledge, everything else is ignorance. So, that's important words, right? So, Bhagavadam will say these things in a different way. Bhagavadam will say in the Saptamaskandam, in the 7th canto, Bhavadvaidam, Kriyadvaidam, Dravyadvaidam. Three things they have spoken there, right? So, this Bhava Dvaidam is this Tattva Jnanartha Darshanam. I know these words, there is no equivalent English words I can find. You have to take these Sanskrit words as they are. Bhava Dvaidam means Tattva Jnanartha Darshanam. That's exactly what it means, right? So, that means outside world don't affect us inside, right? That technology, that technique. And one who is able to realize the awareness of the Antaryami inside, first of all, that has to happen. Before Tattva Jnanartha Darshanam happens, Adhyalpa Jnana Nityatvam has to come. It is after that Tattva Jnanartha Darshanam will happen. Not that Tattva Jnanartha Darshanam will happen first and Adhyalpa Jnana Nityatvam comes later. First thing is to happen is Adhyalpa Jnana Nityatvam. That means full conscious that Krishna is present as Antaryami. Antaryami is controlling everything. That awareness, bodham, that is Adhyalpa Jnana Nityatvam. That has to happen first. After that, Tattva Jnanartha Darshanam will come. Not the other way. Adhyalpa Jnana Nityatvam first. Only if this has happened, the other one will happen. So, that's the important point, right? So, internally, this realization has to happen that Krishna is present as the Antaryami. Antaryami Upasana, Antaryami realization. As Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtadi, Brahmin Sarvabhudani Yantrarudhani Maya, Bhagavad Gita. Tameva Sharanam Gacha. That's the first thing. Tameva Sharanam Gacha. Sarvabhavena Bharata. Due to that, tal prasadal param shandim sthanam prapsesi shashvatam. Okay. So, so if that happens, one starts realizing that he is present in everyone. Even they are wicked people, whether whoever it may be in this creation except Krishna, nothing else exists. Sometimes we, out of our ignorance, we will consider somebody as bad and somebody as good. Who is in the form, in the bad, the baddies or the goodies, all they are, all both are Krishna's manifestations. And if you see them like that, then their wickedness won't affect you, if you see like that. Otherwise, in your mind, you will create ragadvesham about them, right? And similarly, people who are very good, their goodness also won't affect you, if you think it that way, right? Because if you accept any of them, good or bad, both are dangerous. Both are dangerous, right? So you know that. Krishna has said that. You see, self-realization is a different game altogether. It's in the sense that to understand it is sometimes difficult. You may ask a question, why should they not? The good things, why don't you accept it? From somebody else comes. No. Krishna says no. If you look at the 28th chapter in the Ekadasham, Krishna is saying, Parasvabhava karmani na prashamsaye na grahaye. Vishwam egalpagam bashyan prakritya purushena cha. Parasvabhava karmani ya prashamsati ya nindadi. You remember? Two verses. Parasvabhava karmani ya prashamsati ya nindadi. Sa ashubhrashade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. Very, very subtle messages they are. So you have to connect Bhagavad Gita with Bhagavadam and you will see these interesting relationship between Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam. Parasvabhava karmani yaprashamsati yanindadi vishwam egalpagam pashyan. There is only one thing here, Atma, nothing else. You can see this lack of realization when you don't study Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam in this way. In everywhere you will have problem in this world, at every step. Just like you can see, people have different, different way people react to situations. Whether women should be gurus or not, this issue now, very strong, isn't it? It's being discussed worldwide now in ISKCON, whether women should be guru or not. Right? A group of people in favor and a group of people against that. They're not able to make a decision out of that. Why is so? Why is it like that? The reason is this. If you understand what Krishna is saying, Bhagavad Gita is centered around only one thing, soul. Atma is the important thing, not the body. First of all, we have not even accepted that. We are still on the bodily platform. You can discuss forever. You will never find a solution to this problem. Reality is that Krishna is saying to us, actually, only soul exists. Consciousness exists. Body, whether it's male body or female body, or even among the male body, there is so many different types of male bodies also. We are all different. Each one is different from the other. Similarly, we have other species also. 8.4 million different species also. If you come to that level, then you won't be able to find any answer to this question. Krishna's point is that what actually exists here is only the soul, consciousness, right? These are all peripheral things, male form, female form, animals, birds. These are all manifested forms of the original vastu, what is the soul, is the soul. If one is not in that state of consciousness, one will be carried away by the effect of all the names and forms. Namarupam. Namarupam should not enter inside. And because Namarupam we have given prominence to that, we are having problems. Namarupam, that is what Krishna is saying to us in Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Bhagavadam. It is sometimes difficult because the language of the rishis and Krishna's language is different than our mind. It's not easy for our mind to connect with that. When Krishna said those two verses in the Bhagavadam, Parasvabhava karmani na prashamsati na nindati. It's amazing, isn't it? He says you should not glorify them and you should not curse them or you should not criticize them, right? పరస్వభావ కర్మాణి న ప్రశంసతి నిందతి. స ఆశు భ్రష్యతే స్వార్థాల్ అసత్యం అభినివేశద. బికాస్ ద మోమెంట్ యు హవ్ డన్ దాట్ ఇట్ మీన్స్ యు హవ్ కమ్ టు ద బాడీ ప్లాట్ఫామ్. So that is what Krishna is expecting from us, to stay in the spiritual state. Parasvabhava karmani yap prashamsati yanindadi. So ashu brashade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. Parasvabhava karmani na prashamsati nan nindadi. Vishwam ekalpagam pashyan prakritya purushenacha. This one vastu, Atma, it has come in these two forms, prakriti and purusha. So if you give importance to prakriti, and you want perfection in the prakriti, it's not possible. That's the message there. Don't go into the prakriti's level and start analyzing things. But unfortunately, these things are not discussed. And you will argue for a whole lifetime whether woman should be a guru or should not be a guru. You can waste all your life doing this. Parasvabhava karmani, famous verses, right? So, one should not, Krishna is saying there, even this difference between prakriti and purusha, you should not accept, recognize it. In such a way you have to exist. Without recognizing it, because after all, when you go into sushupti, where is male, where is female? Male and female is all in the vacant state and in the dream state. Once you go into deep sleep, there is neither male, there is no female either. Neither king nor the beggar. Neither the American nor the Indian. All these differences, what you experience in the world, is all in the vacant state only, or in the dream state, right? So seeing this, what you are experiencing in that deep sleep state, in that way able to see the world outside in the vacant state, is called Tattva Jnanartha Darshanam. You see that? That word is a heavy word. Tattva Jnana Artha Darshanam. But in that one word, Krishna has packed all these things into it. Realizing that there is only Krishna here. Freedom from the Namarupam. Not getting affected by the Namarupam and able to see Krishna's presence in everyone. Exactly like the way you are seeing His presence inside us. In the same way, able to see that presence outside in the world in everyone. All living entities is called Tattva Jnana Artha Darshanam. సో అధ్యాత్మ జ్ఞాన నిత్యత్వం తత్వజ్ఞానార్థ దర్శనం ఏదల్ జ్ఞానమిది ప్రోక్తం అజ్ఞానం తదనన్యథ. రైట్, సో ఐ నో దిస్ ఈజ్ నాట్ ఈజీ, దిస్ ఈజ్ నాట్ పాసిబుల్ ఇన్ వన్ డే ఆర్ టూ డేస్ ఆర్ వీక్ ఆర్ మంత్. ఇట్స్ మెంట్ టు బీ ఫర్ ఎ లైఫ్ లాంగ్ ఎఫర్ట్, రైట్? బట్ దెర్ ఇస్ వన్ థింగ్, అట్ లీస్ట్ ఇఫ్ యూ యాక్సెప్ట్ దిస్, that this makes sense in your imagination only, even though in practical life it has may not happen now, in practical life it may not happen, but at least in your imagination, if you can build up this understanding, right, that is the first step, right? And then gradually practice this knowledge, what Krishna has spoken. And if that is not possible also, in isolation, as Krishna said before, Vivikta Desha Sevitvam, Aradir Janasamsadi, right? Sitting there and practice, chanting the holy name and meditating upon these principles, what Krishna has spoken, and not to mix with people who are very absorbed in the mundane world. Absorbed in the mundane world. Krishna is saying all these things as Adhyatma Sadhana. These are all the sadhana process for this knowledge, right? Yedal jnanam iti proktam. All this is knowledge, Krishna says. Wherever you see all these things, these symptoms, what Krishna has spoken, it is called jnanam, right? And wherever these things are not there, ajnanam, ajnanam, right? So, wherever there is internally adhyalpa jnanam, and externally, Tattva Jnanartha Darshanam. There it is, Jnanam. Knowledge is there, right? There's one example about this, that Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, when he was always in a very realized state, he spent And he was not, he has not gone to school, or he couldn't even read or write. But realization-wise, he was in such a high state. Paramahamsa, right? So, while they were walking on a street in Calcutta, somebody told, there was one lady standing there, and obviously there was some bad reports about her behavior, right? So, somebody else was with him, Paramahamsa, and he told Paramahamsa that that lady, she has a very bad reputation in the society. So when he said that, Paramahamsa's reaction is very interesting. He says to him that when I saw her, in my mind, I thought about Sita Devi, he said. Thought about Sita Devi, right? And that is Tattvajnanartha Darshanam. That is Tattvajnanartha Darshanam, right? So, what we have to understand is, when you see something, see somebody or seeing something like that, the impact is inside you, not in the person. That person is not affected. Its effect is inside us, right? So, if he has seen and thought about that lady as though she has all these faults, what the other person was talking about, the impact of that is inside him, not in the lady. It is inside Paramahamsa, right? So, and if you see any impurity or faults in others, its effect is inside you, not on that person, right? So, therefore, realized souls, they, it is spoken about them that they don't see anything like the way we see. This is the big difference. We see things with ragadvesham. They don't see it like that. They don't see with ragadvesham. Therefore, they say that a jnani's eyes are like the goat's eye. Why do they say like that? In the olden days, when you have, suppose one you have become blind, what they'll do, instead of having a blind eye, they'll remove it and put a goat's eye. It won't work, but at least it'll give you an impression that you've got an eye. Right? So, similarly, Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pashyanti Surayo Divivi Chakshuratatam Rigvedam. Because of this vision of the realized soul, nothing in the world can create any vasana inside. That is the protection. That is what we have to be careful about. That the world outside does not create vasanas inside, right? And if you have done succeeded in that, that means Tattvajnanartha Darshanam is perfect. Adhyatma Jnana Nityatvam inside, Tattva Jnanartha Darshanam in the world outside. So that is what Krishna is saying that in that 11th verse, right? So, able to see that all the time, that in this world there is only Krishna here, there is nothing else, right? You remember Arjuna, Krishna said to Uddhava also at the end, wander around this world, Samadrik Vijaraswagam, he says. Yeah. Mm. So, in the Agadisham beginning, Krishna says to Uddhava that, is it not? Wander around this world, completely free from all ragadvesham, and seeing my presence everywhere. So, after saying that, Krishna said the next verse, which is Nyayam tattat yattat pravakshyami yajnatvam amrutam asnude anadi matparam brahmam nasat tanna saduchyade nasat tanna saduchyade. Right. So, in earlier Krishna spoke about the sadhana, jnana sadhana, the sadhana, jnana sadhana. Right. Now going to say, through this sadhana, what do you have to realize from that? Yeah? What do you have to realize from that. So that is what called jnayam. Jnayam. In the Bhagavatam, Krishna spoke about three processes, isn't it? For self-realization. Jnanam, Bhakti and Karma. Remember, in the 28th chapter, the 11th canto. And Krishna also said there, who is qualified for what? Remember that?
Yeah.
Who is qualified for which process? I'm sure everybody will be thinking, which one is mine then? Everybody, this is all the first thoughts will come in the mind. Which process should I follow? Krishna is saying there are three processes. Jnana Margam, Bhakti Margam, Karma Margam. Right? Krishna also said there that how you make the decision, which process you should follow. Yogastrayo mai prokta nirnam shrayo vidilsaya jnanam karmam cha bhaktischa nobayo anyosi kutrachil. Krishna said there's only these three processes, there is no other process, he said. Yeah. Then he said, nirvinnanam jnana yogi yogo nyasinam iha karmasu tesho anirvinna chitanam karma yogastu kaminam. Who's qualified for what? He's explaining that. And then he said, yadruchaya malkadaso jado shraddhastu yappuman nirvinno na nirvinno nadisakto bhakti yogastu siddhida. Those three verses. From there, Krishna put it to us that that the who are qualified or who are eligible for each one of those three yoga processes, right? He mentioned there that those who are very attached to results of the karma and those who are attached to the sense object, sense gratification, at the same time, they came to know that self-realization is important. If a situation happens like that in life, you come to realize you are very attached to the world, life in this world, not able to break away from that. At the same time, inside you also realize that self-realization is important. If that situation comes, right? So, in this world while living, we have a lot of connections with the world in different ways. Connection through the family, friends, society, and all sorts of things, right? And also we are bound to do some work in this world. Karma is also there. And then all kinds of bondage with different people. You're bound by that, right? So Krishna is saying for them, Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga is the answer for that, right? Instead, suppose you have no attraction for the world, totally able to break away from this world, no attraction or attachment to anything, and you have such an intense detachment, renunciation inside, then for such people who are able to free themselves from prakriti, break away from the prakriti, for them, Krishna says, jnana yoga. Therefore, them it is possible to follow the process of jnana yoga. Then there is the one in between, neither this nor that. They don't have much of an attachment to the world. At the same time, they need something from the world. And at the same time, they are not much of an attachment to self-realization. Floating in between these two. Attachment to the world is there, some attachment to Krishna is also there. They want some self-realization, but they are not willing to give up everything and run for self-realization. Nor they want to give up Krishna consciousness and go into material sense gratification either. So this one that is floating in between, they are qualified for bhakti. They are qualified for bhakti. So you saw these three different categories Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavatam. Yeah? In Bhagavatam, Krishna has spoken like that. When he came to Bhagavad Gita, Krishna spoke in a different way. All these things you have to look and think about it. Why did he say like that? Otherwise it won't make, just accepting order all the time is no good. Krishna doesn't speak like that. Krishna is saying that. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna spoke about two types of people. Logesmin dvida nishta pura prokta mayanaha jnana yogena sanghyanam karma yogena yoginam, he said. In Bhagavadam he categorized into three, and in Bhagavad Gita he categorized into two. Isn't it? In Bhagavad Gita he categorized into two. Jnana yogena sanghyanam karma yogena yoginam, he said. Right? Krishna is using the word nishta. Nishta means that nishta and yoga, both of them, these two words, right? Yoga means samasthiti, always in the equal vision of equally seeing everyone on an equal platform, right? And this is important, right? Because yoga state is our natural state, not the present state where we are now, identifying with the body, is not our natural state. Our original state is yoga state, right? We is in an unnatural state at the moment. From the point of view of the rishis, we are in an unnatural state, right? But we are thinking we are in a natural state. That's our problem. That's not their problem. It's our problem. We are thinking we are in a natural state. But the rishis are saying to us, we are in an unnatural state. Unnatural state, right? Or in other words, we think we are normal, rishis are saying to us, you are abnormal. We are not in the normal state, right? So, our natural state or normal state is yoga state, yoga. And you remember Krishna has spoken about this word yoga in Bhagavad Gita in few different ways. Samatvam yoga muchyade, he is saying in one place. Patanjali says yoga, chittavritti nirodhaha, and there are so many different definitions for this word yoga. Right? Yoga karmasu kaushalam, another place he said. And in another 6th chapter, Krishna is saying, dukkha samyoga viyogam yoga samyidam, he is saying. So he is explaining this word yoga in different names and different ways he has spoken about that. Right? So another place he said, samatvam yoga muchyare, he said, right? In other words, simple terms, if you say, it is like this, when you become perfect, in perfection, that state is called yoga, right? That means, perfection is what? The proof that we are not perfect at the moment is desires coming in. Wants to fulfill different desires. That shows that we are not perfect. Wants to know more things. Means you are not perfect. But perfection means purnamadam purnamidam. That purnatvam is what is called as the yoga state. Purnatvam means total perfection inside. Shanti. Mind is not creating problem. Thoughts are not coming in. Emotions are not developing. And not identifying with the body. And able to be situated in the platform of the soul. So, Patanjali also says the same thing. Drashtuhu surubena avasthanam. One sutra in the Yoga Sutra. Patanjali says that. Drashtu surubena avasthanam. Right? So, what is that thing that makes us like in the way we are now? From our pure state of Purnatvam. Why do we feel in this unsteady, unstable and imperfect situation now, where we are now, right? And internally for us, for example, in the mind, thought waves coming, all kinds of thoughts coming, right? And those chittavritti or thought waves, right? Because of that, Arjuna is saying, to Arjuna, said this to Krishna, because there are so many thoughts are coming. Chanjalam hi mana Krishna, he said. My mind is disturbed. Thoughts are coming all the time. Different types of thoughts are coming, right? So, these three yoga processes. Krishna has spoken there. Bhakti Margam, Jnana Margam, and Yoga Karma Margam, right? When Arjuna asked this question to Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, from that you can understand which category is Arjuna. Do you understand? From the question of Arjuna, you can understand where Arjuna is. Yeah? Arjuna is in our category. Thoughts are coming, Arjuna is getting disturbed. Chanjalam himana Krishna, pramadi bhalaval dridam. Yeah. So, Arjuna belongs to our category. Right? And the other thing is, Arjuna also has attraction for sense enjoyment. He is not free from that. You know why I am saying all these things is to make and to get an understanding why Krishna said in the way he has said in Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita in two different ways. In Bhagavatam he is talking to Uddhava. In Bhagavad Gita he is talking to Arjuna. A first class guru is that person who knows the disciple and able to instruct him properly. And that's what Krishna has done there. You have to compare between Arjuna and Uddhava and see their states of consciousness different. Arjuna is not anywhere near Uddhava. Yeah? So, even though Arjuna is hearing Bhagavad Gita, you cannot say Arjuna is free from sense enjoyment. Because if he was free from sense enjoyment, the proof is already there. He won't be running after Subhadra, would he? Just before this happened, Arjuna went to Krishna and said that I want to marry Subhadra. He expressed, he was a sannyasi that too. So Arjuna's a famous sannyasam. It is in the Bhagavatam, that story, right? Arjuna took sannyas. And then Krishna understood what the motive was, the purpose of the sannyasam was. And all that, what happened, you know, we discussed that in the 89th chapter in the Dashamaskandam, in the 10th canto. So Arjuna's famous sannyasam, that is, he is not ready for that. He took sannyasam. And he went there and he came back with Subhadra. Sannyasi comes back with Subhadra. Right? So this is Arjuna's sannyasam. So in this, Krishna is trying to make Arjuna understand where he is standing. All of us come to this world in a certain state of spiritual life. And you can't change it overnight. It's not possible. People who don't think about that way, they think that everything is possible in this one life to switch into perfection. That's not possible because we have in several lifetimes did several things and all that vasanas are inside. Arjuna has his vasana. Uddhava has his vasanas. Right? So, and Arjuna comes to the battlefield and says to Krishna that I cannot fight this battle because they are all my spiritual teachers and my family and friends. How can I kill them? He's asking this question, right? And the way Arjuna puts that is that I don't want to fight this war because by fighting and killing them and to enjoy this world is not worthwhile, he said. Punjina yoga and dudhira pratigdhan. You will see that in the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, what's the point in this bloodshed, killing all these people and me becoming happy from that, right? So, what he's saying is, he's not saying I don't want sense gratification. He's saying, by killing them and to enjoy the world, I don't want it, but I like to enjoy life. This is Arjuna's position. Arjuna is not free from that. Arjuna likes sense enjoyment and Arjuna admits that. That's why that word is important. Bunjina yoga and dudhira pratigdhan, he says. Right? And then Krishna is saying, Arjuna is saying here, chanjalam himana Krishna. My mind is very disturbed, he says. I'm not ready to kill all my relations and I don't want that happiness by killing them. But he didn't say, I don't want the sense gratification. What he said is, I don't want sense gratification by killing them. That kind of sense gratification I don't want, he said. So, knowing that only, Bunjida Bhogan Rudra Pradigdhan, Arjuna is saying here that even if I have to enjoy this bhogam, sense gratification, Krishna is also saying to Arjuna at the same time, right? Because you have to look at Krishna's words and Arjuna's words. Arjuna is saying like this. And what did Krishna say to him? Krishna is saying that you fight this war, you win the war, and you will have your name and fame will be spread all around the world. And your reputation will be very high in this world. So in other words, why Krishna said that? Krishna knows that Arjuna has the desire inside him, right? So, and that is the reason when, in the second chapter, when Krishna spoke about Karma Yogam, he said like this, Karmaneva adhikaraste nabhaleshu kadachana ma karma balahed made sangosta karmani. Those famous verses, right? In other words, Karmaneva adhikaraste, you are actually, what is you are qualified for is Karma Yogam. Arjuna is qualified for Karma Yogam, right? So people who think they are the body and who are identifying with the body, they should work with the body identification, right? And when you have to work with the body, if you don't work, use the body to make your life happy or for selfish reasons, if you do that, you will be in bondage. That's the principle, Karma Yogam's principle, right? So, you have to work for somebody else in that case. That's a way to become free from karma. Karma Yogam is a process by which you can become free from karma. And that principle is this, that if you don't work in this world for selfish interest, for happiness, selfish interest, then what will happen is that in due course of time, you will become free from the ego, ahankaram inside. And if you do the work, karmam, in that way, over a period of time, you will become free from karma. Right? Karma bandham, that bondage due to karmam, you will become free from that. So that is the principle of Karma Yoga. In other words, as long as a jiva does not work for himself, for his selfishness, or for his own happiness, right? Just by doing that, a jiva can become free from, the door will get open for him for self-realization. He will become qualified for that, right? And that is the secret of Karma Yoga. So Arjuna belongs to that category. Arjuna belongs to that category, right? So on the other hand, Uddhava, if you look at Uddhava, Uddhava is an old person. He is 115, 120 years old, right? And he has developed sufficient detachment from this world. Apart from that, through his service to Krishna and attachment to Krishna, he has developed amazing bhakti in the heart for Krishna. And he didn't have any desires for himself. See the difference between Arjuna and Uddhava. Uddhava has no desires. That's when this discussion happened, Ekadasha Skandam. Uddhava has become free from desires. So therefore, because Uddhava had no desire, Krishna gave the Jnana Yogam to Uddhava. While he gave Karma Yogam to Arjuna, he gave Jnana Yogam to Uddhava because Uddhava's state was like that. He was in that situation, right? So this important thing, Jnana Yogam was given to Uddhava, Karma Yogam was given to Arjuna, right? Now you look at gopis now in Vrindavana, what happened to them, right? Gopis had this attachment to Krishna, very strong attachment to Krishna. So because they had the attachment for Krishna, Krishna realized that they are qualified people for bhakti yoga, right? And directed them in the bhakti process, right? So whichever way it is, either through Jnana Margam or through Karma Margam, karma yogam or through bhakti yogam, either many of these three processes, how you can become perfect in life, that's the most important thing, right? And because our real swarupam is perfection, we are perfect inside, right? And perfection is not to come from outside, because in our swarupam, Andaryami, we are perfect, right? Atma's swabhavam, swabhavam of Atma is that it has perfect, it is perfect in itself. Jiva is not perfect, Atma is perfect, right? So that recognition of the Atma's perfection is called in Shastram Pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna means recognizing the Andaryami's perfection inside, and that is Jnanam. So this Jnana Yogam, Bhakti Yogam, Karma Yogam, it is in these three things, right? Somehow or the other, if we become free from the identification with the body, connection with the world, and then you come to what Patanjali says, that Swarupa Avasthanam, Swarupaiva Avasthanam, right? Or being situated within oneself, right? So Arjuna said, Chanjalam hi mana Krishna, right? Means that my mind is very much disturbed, right? I have no shanti inside. So we all know that when the mind is in a shanti state, that's when you feel happy, isn't it? Sukham. And that's why he said, you will see in the Bhikshu Gita also, Parohi Yogo Manasa Samadhi. Bhikshu saying this. In Bhikshu Gita, Parohi Yogo Manasa Samadhi, he said. So when the mind becomes in shanti state, you will feel samadhi state, happiness inside, right? Why does the mind get disturbed? Because main reason for mind getting disturbed is we all have desires inside, different types of desires to enjoy. We want to enjoy that desire for sense gratification is there in everybody, right? All other things are secondary. It is mainly the desires inside that's causing the problem, right? And the getting attracted to world outside, and our life in this world also is all coming, these desires are coming from outside, right? Because inside the vasana is there, therefore, right? Main reason why we have disturbances, right, is because of that's what is disturbing the shanti inside, because of the vasanas inside, right? If those desires go away, then in a natural way, the mind will be in a shanti state, right? So, vairagyam has to come. That vairagyam means these vasanas going away from inside. And how will the vairagyam will come? In order vairagyam to come, vivekam is required. Vivekam means power of discrimination is required, right? And this vairagyam, and which comes from vivekam is the right word for that. Vivekam, how does vivekam comes? That vivekam is the spiritual master inside, our power of discrimination, right? Even if you get a guru outside, what that guru does is, this power of vivekam, what is inside us, all he is going to do is to wake up that vivekam within us. That's what he does, right? So that is what the important point. It is keeping this in mind, you have to understand what Krishna is saying here. Krishna is saying to Arjuna, that edal jnanam idi proktam, ajnanam tadananyatha. After saying that, he says, Nyayam yattat pravakshyami yal jnatvam amritam ashnate anadi malparam brahmam sadasat nasat sannasam uchyate, right? So, what do we have to know through sadhana at the end? where does it end, right? So Krishna is saying, Nyeyam yattat pravakshyami. What is to be known, Arjuna, I will talk about that, right? Now, here is the catch. Here is the problem, right? Knowing things, right? Knowing things. Material knowledge, materially, in material world, right? Laugiyam, material world. Knowledge is two sides to it. One, lot of things you have already known. And second, you still want to know more other things, right? Things what you have already known and things what you want to know. This is what all our institutions tell us, isn't it? College and university and all. And then we say about people that he is very knowledgeable. Things like that. We talk about that, right? So, known and unknown, you can say like that. Known, things what you already know. You know a lot of things, and but still there is a lot more to know that's unknown. So, known and unknown, right? Krishna will say later, Shrodavyasya Shrodavyasya, he says in the Bhagavad Gita. Shrodavyasya Shrodavyasya, that's what that means. Shrodavya means you already known things. And Shrodham means what you have to know in the future. Right? But both these things, that's how Krishna uses that in the Bhagavad Gita. Shrodavyasya Shrodasyacha. Right? Both these things, Shrodavyam and Shrodham, both of them are limited. Both of them are limited. Limited means that it will never make you complete. Suppose you have known a lot of things, still a lot to be known yet. There is no time you have come to completely know everything. It is not possible, right? So, neither the known ones nor the unknown ones is going to make you perfect. This is Krishna's point. Whatever you have known so far or what you want to know further in life, neither of these two is going to make you perfect. It's going to make you perfect, right? And similarly, whatever with your mind you are trying to get the information or knowledge is also not going to be perfect. Not going to be perfect, right? What will happen is at some point in time, you will become fed up with this information collection, endlessly going on throughout life. Yeah, I want to know everything, I want to know everything. And that way, I keep chasing that, right? So, at some point, Vairagyam will come with that, Nirvedam. So, Krishna calls that is Shrodavyasya Shrodasyacha. Shrodasyacha Shrodasyacha, and that's how Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, right? Krishna's point is, whatever you have known, all useless. Whatever you want to know, also useless. Krishna is saying to us, whatever you have known is all useless. Whatever you want to know in future, it's also useless, right? Don't need either of them. Then what do you do? What you have, what you require is, there is a knowledge, and that is what is called knowable. It is. Known is useless. Unknown is also useless. But it's a thing called knowable. It is a knowable Krishna is talking about here. What is called nyeyam tat tat pravakshyami. That knowable. What is that knowable? Knowable means, right, it is neither known or unknown, and it is not a thing which can be known either. That is what it's called knowable. It's a bit difficult to understand that. Right? Because its swarupam itself is knowledge. Yeah? By its very swarupam itself is knowledge. It is called, that is why in the Shastram they will use this word yapti, pratnya. All these words are referring to this. Knowable. Knowable means its swarupam is knowledge. Swarupam is knowledge. Vatandita tattvavidam tattvam yat jnanam advayam. That advaya jnanam it is. In other words, it is bodham it is. It is not knowing with the mind. It is bodham. In other words, so it exists in us in the form of existence, bodham, awareness, right? So it, and that is how this verse has to be known, jnayam. Jnayam is not knowing something with the mind and intelligence, right? It's not knowing something with the mind and intelligence. That's not jnayam. Jnayam means realization inside. Jnayam yattat pravakshyami yat jnatvam amritam asnute. Right? If you get to, if you have that realization, yat jnatvam amritam asnute, it says, you will experience immortality. Amritatvam. Right? So, amritatvam is something what we already have within us, right? It is not something to be got from outside. Already we are immortal, but that awareness is not there because of the identification with the body. That's the problem. In Mahabharatam, there is this famous Yaksha Prasnam. Yaksha discussing with Yudhishthira about this, right? He comes and asks some few questions to Yudhishthira. And one of the most important questions there was, what is the most amazing thing in this world? He asked that question, right? Yudhishthira is answering that, every day people are dying. New people are coming to this world. You know, everyone, we read all that, but when we leave it like that, oh, this happened for Yudhishthira, it didn't happen to me. I'm thinking everything is perfect here, right? So, we are seeing the newspaper, television, and all other things, right? And the funny thing is that, you know, in the cemetery, when people die, you take the dead body there, right? Now we have got these electric systems, right, where you burn the body through electric furnaces. And all. But in the villages, older system is still firewood or cow dung brings it together and keep the dead body and set fire to it. So, in the past they were done in your own compound, it was done. But now they have got for public a one place where everybody brings their dead body, and there are people organized, little bit more organized in that sense. Here it is too organized. You've got all the technology also added to that to burn the body, right? But in the villages still, if you die, what they do is, there are arrangements now that there's a particular place near a riverbank or something where you take the dead body there, and there are people already arranged everything. They'll bring the wood or they'll bring the cow dung, and you keep the dead body on that, and there are people who set fire to it and burned, and then you are given the bones. You can take it with you for your sanjayanam or all other karma like that, right? So, some people, he must have set fire to so many bodies. So that's his job, isn't it? Hundreds of bodies. And every time he is setting the fire to one body, he is thinking, this won't happen to me. That's what he is thinking. He's thinking, he's doing it as his job. Well, that's what it is doing, right? So, and sometimes they will say, with this hand, you know how many bodies I have burnt? He will say with pride that so many bodies have set fire, right? And a person who has set fire to so many bodies, in spite of that, he doesn't think that he will die. This is the way it is. That's the way we are all, isn't it? We read all the news, people are dying, going from this world one after the other. But we are so busy with this world, we don't have even time to think about that, right? So it was that question what this Yaksha raised. Ahani ahani bhutani gachandi yamalayam shesham stavaram ichandi kadam ashiryata tapa. Right? tadapadam. So every day people are dying, but still people who are seeing that, they are not affected by that. Maybe for a few minutes or a few seconds you may think, oh, poor man, he is dead and gone. Just like last week, two people died in Lachmohit. Lachmohit is a small village, right? Two people died. There was a message in the WhatsApp group saying that they died. That's it, finished, gone. They're gone. So many people have gone like that, right? So what's happening is that even if you're very old, even if you're 90, you're still thinking that I'm not feeling that I will die. That feeling is not coming. That why is that? Why does that happen that way? Because in the consciousness, bodham, death is not there. Consciousness in bodham, death is not there, right? So sometimes in the villages, you won't find that in the city so much because city is different. In the villages, old people, very old people, right? You ask them, how old are you? They can't even walk properly, 99, 98, 99, so old, right? So one family living in a house, an old lady is living in the house. Next house, the son has built a house and he lives in that house with his family next to her. Right? So the son is saying that my mother is telling that she wants to finish 100. She's saying like this. It's 99 or something. She wants to become 100. Right? So, and she's not able to see very well. Eyesight is going, right? Also hearing power. And she can't even walk very well. But still she wants to finish 100, right? Somehow she survived for another few more years. She became 102 after that, right? And when you say to her, to the old lady, grandmother, she is such an old lady, she is still not conscious that she will die. She does not think that she will die. It may come, but she is not bothered about it, right? So if you remind them about death, just for a few moments, it will feel, she will think about it a little bit, but immediately it's forgotten. It's gone from inside, right? So, just like we are now talking about death, right? Probably you are thinking about death. Some of you, I'm sure, thinking about death. But the moment you walk out, it's all forgotten. It's not affecting us, right? It's not affecting us. It's not fact. It's not like that, isn't it? Yeah. When you hear about death, some close person, member died or something, something happened, he's gone, but it won't happen to me. This is the way I think about it, right? So, why is it so? Because death is not a reality for us. That is a fact. Death is not a reality, right? Body dies. Body dies, right? So, that is why another name for this body is death. Another name for the body is death, right? And it has been dying all the time, this body, right? And different cells are born, new cells are born, old cells died, things like that, right? And actually, we are not in the body. We are not in the body, right? And what we have got is bodily identification. We are not in the body. It's only an identification we have in the sense that I present think that I am this body. I think some misunderstanding inside has come to us that I am this body, right? We don't have bodham in the body. Sharira bodham is not there because bodham, consciousness, and body cannot come together. Do you understand what I'm saying? Bodham is consciousness, right? Consciousness, in consciousness, body cannot stay. That is why, right, this word, bodily consciousness, is a wrong word. consciousness cannot take body on because body does not exist in the consciousness. Consciousness is independent, totally independent, right? So this word body consciousness is a wrong word, right? Consciousness does not know the body, right? And body doesn't have consciousness. Body doesn't have consciousness. And body does not have the experience that I exist. That awareness is not in the body, that I exist, right? And you can see that this experience, my existence, is not affected no matter what happens to the body. For example, if I meet with an accident and they cut off my leg or hands or whatever it may be, right? My existence is not affected by that. I exist completely. I am existing. That awareness is not affected, right? So, from that bodham, that awareness, right? Because it is like that, consciousness is like that, if you talk about death to that consciousness, right? All what is happening is that you may think about the body for a couple of minutes or something, right? And in the platform of thinking or in the thought power, you may fear, get a bit frightened about death, right? But once that thought goes away from the mind, again you are experiencing a state which is the state of the consciousness, which means no death. And that is the reason why all the death around us is not affecting us. Don't you think it is very strange that people are dying, close members, family members, and you are thinking about their death, right? And the fear of death, that they will die and leave you one day and go away, all these thoughts are in our mind. But, say a very close member of your family died, somebody very close to you, right? For 2-3 weeks or so, you will think about it. Some thoughts will come in your mind. Very quickly it goes. Very quickly it goes. After that it is just memory only. It has not affected you at all. And you still have the will to live in this world, desire to live in this world. What does that show? It's showing to us that internally, in our consciousness, there is no such thing called death. There is no such thing called death. I know it's a difficult thing to analyze deeply because it is all too internally, too deep subject inside, right? So Krishna is saying this to us because you are always experiencing there is no such thing called death. You already have it inside you, but due to this identification with the body, thinking that I am the body, it is in your mind only. It's not in the consciousness. I am this body. That understanding is only in the subtle body. It's not in the antaryami. Do you understand? In the subtle body, where you are identifying with the gross body, which is the jiva, which is the ahankaram inside, that is only in the subtle body only. No more than that. It finishes there. In reality, within you, the antaryami, which is your actual identity, there is no such thing called death. There is no such thing called death. Right? So, because in the antaryami state, there is no death, right? And in the bodily level, in the subtle body, you have this identification. Therefore, what happens is, because it is like this, that what do? Again, you will think about making more money and increasing the bank deposits and things like that. And again, come back to this world again. How to make more money? And what about the pension, daughter's marriage, son's employment, these things, one after the other. very easily after the death is over, you can fall back into this again without any difficulty. This is the reason behind that. Yeah. So therefore, even if you have become 100 years old, right, you are still thinking that, is the body going to stay further? Consciousness is saying there is no death in consciousness. Because it is like that, even though you are identifying with the body, the consciousness is influencing us in such a way that you will feel that you are not going to die. That's coming from there. That understanding that I will not die. In other words, I'm not able to take death very seriously. Strictly speaking, if somebody close to you die like that, you should get affected by that. And it should never leave you if that was a reality. But for you, it is not a reality because consciousness is not affected by that, right? So this knowledge that there is no thing called death is already there in everybody, but when it comes through the body, it becomes ignorance. It becomes avidya. This is the point, right? So you can understand this, that in all what we do in this world, all the crooked things what we do in this world, behind all that, this knowledge is there. In daily life, you're working hard, earning money, doing a lot of things, activities in this world. You're doing all these things, but you also know that all of them is not real. Because it has nothing to do with you. You are doing this because of your body, bodily identity connections, right? Everybody likes to be free and left alone and not to be disturbed by anything, right? And we like it like that, right? Because inside us we know that this doing things, nobody likes it forever to continue doing it, right? And because somewhere inside us, there is this consciousness telling us that this is not my nature to continuously doing that, right? So all our dealings in this world, if you look at that also, you can see that element of our nature or consciousness has an effect in everything what you do in this world. When you are dealing with the world, when you are working hard and you are making a lot of money, or when you have a family life, in all that things you can see within inside you there is always this understanding that these things what I'm doing is not my actual business. We all know that, but still we'll do it. That's the way it is, right? So so this feeling that immortality nature in us, that we always exist, very difficult to convince anyone that they won't exist anymore. Body, you can make it clear to someone that they won't exist anymore on the bodily level. But on a spiritual understanding, on a consciousness level, to tell someone that they will not exist anymore will not be acceptable, because we know that in consciousness level we will exist even if this body goes away, right? So the problem comes that this inherent experience inside, inherent in us, which one? This immortality feeling. When you are imposing on the body, that is when the problem comes. The feeling of immortality is there in us. But when you are imposing that on the body, then the problem comes. So, therefore, it is said that in order to get that realization totally, all you have to know is that you are not this body. That's all what is required, to know that you are not this body, right? So this is an important thing. You see, this verse Krishna is saying here, Jnanam ज्ञेयम् यत्तत् प्रवक्ष्यामि यज्ञात्वाम् अमृतम् अश्नुते अनादिमल्परम् ब्रह्मम् नसल् तन्नासु दुच्यते. राइट, दिस वर्स इट्स अ वर्स टेकन फ्रॉम द ब्रह्मसूत्रम्. ब्रह्मसूत्रम् वर्स वन सूत्रम् हैज टेकन and Krishna has put it here in his own way. This verse, right? So that's why its Bhashyam also is very extensive on this verse. Yeah. It says here that Yatnyayam yatvam amrutam amrutattvam ashnude. Once you get to know, it is amrutattvam. Anadi malparam, it is Brahmam. It doesn't have a beginning or the end. Then, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Nasattat yayam uchyade itina abhi asattat uchyade. He's saying this subject, what I'm going to talk about, is neither, I'm not saying it's good, nor I'm saying it's bad. Then he says that Upanishads talks about Brahmam, not this, not this, right? Neither Stulam nor Sushmam. But precisely it's not defined there either. Then, when you talk about any Vastu, you can say that all vastu, it exists, it doesn't exist. That is how it is spoken. Na sarva buddhaya astina asti buddhya sugada eva tatra evam sadi jnayam api asti buddhya anugada pratyaya vishayam vasyad na asti buddhya anugada pratyaya vishayam vasyad. So, Krishna is trying to make us understand what consciousness is. This talk about this vastu is jnayam, is consciousness, right? So what is this consciousness, bodham, he's saying? He's saying that you cannot know it with the mind. You cannot know it with the intelligence either. Why? Buddhi is also a sense only. Mind is also a sense. Right? Neither the buddhi nor the mind can talk about consciousness. They can only talk about things which can be perceived through senses. This is a limitation of the buddhi and the mind. Buddhi and the mind can only talk about something which can be perceived by the senses. Yeah? So that is what he is saying here. Buddhi also cannot help as far as consciousness is concerned. And then he gave the example of the pot, that they are all vastu which is perceivable through senses. Yat tu uktam viruddham uchyade jnayam tat na asad uchyade iti na viruddham. Then he mentions that in Vedam, sometimes things are spoken in such a way that when they make the yajnashala for performing sacrifices, right, there is benefit from that. Who gets to know about it, right? Because in this world or in the world after death, in the heavenly planets, who is getting benefited by all these things? Who knows that? Shruti says so. Vedam says so. Right? And this word Brahmam, na vidida vididabhyam anyatva shrudehe avashya vijnayartha padibadhanatvad, that from knowing and not knowing, these two things, knowing and not knowing it, Brahmam is different from that. Then, both with, that is what he used that word, you remember? न सत त न असत. इट इज नाइदर सत नॉर असत. राइट. By the with these two words, sat or asat, Brahman cannot be expressed, right? And one who hear about Brahman, he will understand Brahman based on his modes of nature, his state of mind, and his vasanas inside. This is the difficulty with explaining this word Brahman. Brahmam nasatthannasa duchyade, he said, Krishna says here. Anadi malparam brahma nasatthannasa duchyade. What does that mean? It means that the either it is neither sat nor asat, and one who hear that, he will understand about it based on his modes of nature inside, and also the swabhavam in vasanas inside him. He will understand the word Brahman. And then he says there, Brahman is not connected to anything. Krishna is trying to tell us something. As I said, this verse is taken from the Brahma Sutra and the Upanishads also. Yato vacha nivartande aprapya manasa saha. Taittiriya Upanishad says that. Yeah. So, Brahman is, what is Brahman? Brahman is this bodham, consciousness. To bring that into our speech, or to our mind, or to our intelligence, is not possible. Brahman cannot be spoken. You remember in the Shuddhi Gita, in the beginning, it started like that, right? So, it is not, cannot be subjected to mind, cannot be subjected to intelligence, cannot be subjected to senses, right? It is, that is Brahman, right? And no senses can touch, understand it. Through senses, you cannot, because buddhi and mind can only get to know him, get to know anything, provided it can be known through senses. Senses, mind and buddhi. Three things together. If senses can make contact with the sense objects, the mind can perceive that, intelligence can explain that. But this vastu, Brahman, cannot be perceived through senses. So therefore, neither the mind nor the intelligence can understand that, right? Can explain it properly. So, after saying that, Krishna is going to say now what is that Brahma means, right? Brahma means, right? So this in Brahma Sutram, this verse, when it is come here, there is an extensive commentary on that in the Brahma Sutram. Acharya Swamiji says there that if you have at least succeeded in disconnecting from the body, right, means that able to take the body away from your thoughts, from your mind, then your business is over, he's saying. Because three things we discussed before: I am not this body, body is not mine, body is not for my happiness, for my enjoyment. Three things. Our connection with the body, we have to understand what that connection is, right? Body is not in the consciousness. We falsely identified with the body in the mind. And that's where the trouble is, where we are having problems. This existence of the body is not in the consciousness. It's not there. Consciousness is totally independent. It has nothing to do with the body. Body comes, body goes. Consciousness is not bothered about it. But in our mind and in the subtle body, we have identification with the body, and that is our problem. And that's why we are suffering from that, right? So, this, if the body goes away, from our subtle body. This identification goes away, the problem is solved. In other words, I am not this body, one. Body is not mine, and body is not for my happiness or enjoyment. If these three things comes in, we have to clear all the three things, right? I am not this body alone is not sufficient. Normally we say like that, isn't it? Dehinosmin yathadehe kaumaram dhinastatranamahiri. We will say to people all these things, I am not this body. But then people ask, he is thinking that whether in Vyavaharam when it comes, all these things are back. Right? So, these three things, I am not this body, body is not mine. I know it's difficult for us to even perceive that properly because we are so absorbed in the body. Our connection with the body through the mind and the subtle body is so strong that when Shastram says like this, we are finding it difficult to connect with it. So, I am not this body is the first step. That's fine. But when it comes to Vyavaharam, when you are doing transactions with the world, that is when these two other two comes, right? that I have to look after the body in Vyavaharam, right? And I am doing all the Vyavaharam for the body. Why are we doing Vyavaharam in this world? For the body, right? So all the three, that means in Vyavaharam also if it has to come, I'm not this body, body is not mine, and body is not for my enjoyment, right? So when it comes like that, these three things, right? All the three things, Krishna is saying, then your spiritual life is complete. That means, as he said in the 10th chapter, Adhyalpa Vidya Vidyanam. Of all the Vidya in this world, Adhyalpa Vidya is real Vidya. 10th chapter. Adhyalpa Vidya Vidyanam. So, Adhyalpa Vidya is this knowledge, right? If all these three things have come in a person, I'm not this body, body is not mine, body is not for my enjoyment, it's not mine. Completely breaking away from that, right? This is based on the Jnana Marga. In Bhakti Yogam, how will you put it? You will say like this, body belongs to Krishna. Krishna's body it is, right? And this body is for Krishna to do the karma, whatever is to be done in this world. If you do like think like that, if you become conscious of that, then you will become free from the body. You'll become free from the body, right? And then, if that happens, where are you then? Amrutatvam Ashnute. You are in the platform of immortality, right? I am not born, I don't die. And that's a fact also. Does any of us remember when we were born, what happened? We had no idea when we were born, is it not? Okay, there is a date there. Apart from that, what do we remember about our birth? Right? But very seriously, we are celebrating birthday. We can't even remember what happened when we were born. And we are celebrating birthday. Very seriously. Cake cutting and all kinds of things. So, just imagine the avidya behind it. Right? So, nobody remembers that birth was being celebrated whole life, isn't it? Day after day, every year after year after year. But not even knowing what actually happened at the time of birth. I don't even know, but I'm celebrating it. Right? Similarly, death also. How many times have I died before in so many different bodies? Right? I don't remember anything. Right? So, in our awareness or in bodham, neither there is birth nor there is death inside, right? So that's all in the bodily level only. Trying to understand this, it's important thing to bring, move away from the body, right? So you cannot have a spiritual life identifying strongly with the body. Remember, this chapter is all about Kshetram and Kshetrajnam. Kshetram he discussed, Krishna has discussed so far, the body. Now he's going to talk about Kshetrajna, who is completely different from the Kshetram. Like Prahlada said, like Krishna said in the Agadisham. Kshetram and Kshetrajna are two different things. Kshetrajna is, by very nature itself, is totally different in every sense compared to Kshetram. Right? So, you can see, so in order to get that point across, Krishna is saying that birth and death you can't remember. That means in your consciousness there is no birth or death. Somewhere in our identification with the body, when we are living in this world, the society has put this into our head about the birthday. We accepted it, that avidya came inside, and we celebrated it. Why is it that? Because you are identifying with the body. That's what it is. It is. If you have some spiritual understanding, you won't celebrate it because it has nothing to do with you, first of all. Totally different from you, it is happening, a process. Prakriti created the body. It was thrown at you based after your prarabdham was decided what you have to go through. So prarabdham and then the gross body and the subtle body all came and they will leave you and go. And you are celebrating it as a birthday. Means what? Means what? It means that your actual identity is bodham, consciousness. From there you have fallen down into the bodily level. That's what it means, basically. What it means, right? So, after saying that, see, this neither birth nor death is in your awareness. In your bodham there is neither birth nor death, right? It's all in the bodily level, right? In this way, you should know this. Krishna is saying, you should separate them like this. Body and self. They are two different things, right? And this is called Hamsa Vidya. Like the Hamsam separates milk and the water. Hamsam has got something in its beak. It has got the capacity to separate the milk and the water. In the same way, this Hamsa Vidya, it is spoken in the Bhagavadam, right? Similarly, we have to learn the science of separating this bodham or consciousness from the body, material body, right? And because Hamsam can do that, that's why those who are able to do that are called Paramahamsas, who are able to break up body from the consciousness. They are called Paramahamsas. It's not a title given like like you give in the House of Lords, you're given Lord and all title given. It's not a title like that, this Paramahamsa. Paramahamsa is supposed to be the one who is able to break up these two. Hamsam separates the milk and the water. In the same way, those who are able to separate between the body and the self. Right? So, and those who will never fall from that state, they know that they are the milk, the consciousness, and not the water, the body. Right? So, Paramahamsa. Right? So that's what he is saying there. Nyayam yattat pravakshyami Nyayam yattat pravakshyami yal jnatvam amritam ashnute. He is saying amritam ashnute. Right. Amritam ashnute. Anadi malparam brahma nasal tannasaduchyate. Right. So you see, Krishna also said there, nasat tan asaduchyade. Nasat tan asaduchyade. Says there, right? So if you this satta asatta, this is all in the vyavaharam level. In the vyavaharam level, right? If you look at the vyavaharam level, it is a satta. It is satta. In the absolute platform, if you look at it is neither satta nor asatta, right? Do you know what that means? That means, in vyavaharam level, you realize the existence of the consciousness. You can realize it because consciousness is working through the body. When body is operating, doing different things, it means that consciousness is present inside. So that is how you say that in vyavaharam level, if you look at it, its existence is felt when you are engaged in karma. That is why it's called a satta, right? But if you look into the paramarthika level, an absolute platform, this satta has no meaning. It is neither satta nor asatta. I don't know whether you get it. It's a very subtle thing. If you think about it, you will get it. It's a very subtle thing. In the vyavaharam level, it is satta. Because why? In vyavaharam level, you will get to know the soul only because the body is working. Therefore, you say it is real. Right? But suppose there is no body. In your pure state of consciousness, it is neither satta nor asatta. You can't say anything because consciousness only exists. Nothing else exists here. Existence itself is the nature of consciousness. Existence itself is the nature of consciousness. So therefore this question doesn't come whether it is satta or asatta. Satta and asatta comes only when you see the way consciousness is affecting the body. That's how you can locate the existence of the consciousness. But when you are not concerned about the body, in its pure state, it is neither satta nor asatta. That's what he's saying, right? Because it's present inside us, it's so difficult to explain the soul. That is why Krishna is saying in a different way. In the next many verses now on, from the verse 13 onwards, so many verses is all to explain to us what soul is. What soul is, right? So, if you have no body, suppose you have no body, right? Only pure consciousness, then this statement that it exists has no meaning, right? And whereas in vyavaharam, you can say it exists, it doesn't exist, right? So that's what he is saying here, that nasat tanna atan asad uchyade. Nasat tanna asad uchyade. Right? So, the first thing Krishna is saying that in order to understand that statement, this verse 12, Nyeyam tattat pravakshyami yajnatvam amritam asnade anadim alparam brahma nasat tanna asad uchyade. He is saying that the first verse about that, that is the next verse. Sarvada panibadam dal, sarvadokshishiromukham, sarvada shudimalloge, sarvamavrtyatishtadi. Sarvada panibadam dal, sarvadokshishiromukham, sarvada shudimalloge, sarvamavrtyatishtadi. Sarvada panibadam, sarvada panayam padaha, cha asya idi, sarvada panibadam tatnyayam. This is an interesting verse because Krishna is saying, his hands are everywhere, his legs are everywhere, his eyes are everywhere, his heads are everywhere, face is everywhere, he has got ears everywhere, talking about Brahman, this is, right? And he is present everywhere. Present everywhere, he said, right? Krishna saying, it's the most amazing thing about this consciousness. It's the most amazing thing, right? That sadvastu, That means this Brahman, what we are trying to understand, it has got hands and legs everywhere, right? Now the funny thing is that you don't know that universal form, the picture in the Bhagavad Gita, what we have got, right? We look at that picture and people are thinking that this is how it is, that he's got hands and legs everywhere, hundreds of hands and hundreds of legs and hundreds of faces, everything, right? And it's not like that, yeah? What he's saying is that every living entity in this world, its hands, it is his hands. And similarly, all his legs are, all everyone's legs is his legs, right? And that means any jiva here, any jiva, doesn't matter, only human beings, even other species, all their hands and legs are Krishna's hands and legs, right? And in each one of them, and the heads also, present in each one of the, in each different, each of these different bodies, as Antaryami, present in every jiva, right? Seeing the other things, actually it is Krishna. Krishna is present in everybody and he is looking through this body outside. Sarvada Pani Badandal, Sarvadoksha Shiromukham, Sarvada Shrimal Loge, Sarvam Avartya Dishtali. That's how to understand that, right? In other words, one who is present in me and looking through these eyes is Krishna. And seeing you is Krishna who is seeing that, right? Sarvada Pani Badandal. If I start seeing like that, that Krishna is seeing others through these eyes, it is Krishna consciousness, Bhagavad Darshanam, right? In other words, if this verse, 13, Sarvada Pani Badandal, this verse, if it is properly realized, right, if it is properly realized, then when I see somebody else, it should be Bhagavad Darshanam. It's a difficult thing. It's not so simple that it's easy to preach, isn't it? Sit here and talk about it is easier. But when it comes to realization, it is not so easy. So what Krishna says there, that this verse is like that, right? So, Swamshigaranam. Swamshigaranam means that I am able to make it as my own. That Krishna is sitting inside me as Antaryami, and he is seeing others through these eyes. I need to be conscious that way. If I come to realize that way, then my vision is perfect. I am become the perfect, right? So, Bhagavad Darshan, that's what he's saying, Sarvadoksha Shiromukham, and Sarvada Shudimal Loke, his heads, his eyes, and his face, and Sarva Mavritya Trishtati, and also, he has got ears everywhere, it says, right? And then, after saying that, he also said in the next verse also, the same thing. Sarvendriya gunabhasam, sarvendriya vivarjitam, asaktam sarvaprachaiva, nirgunam gunabhoktrucha. We'll discuss that after the break. Chedo darpanam arjanam vavumahadavagni nirvavanam, shreyakkaitava chandriga vitaranam, dhyavadhu jivanam, Anandam buddhivardhanam pradipada purnamrita swadhanam sarvatna subhanam varam vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam Namnamagari bahudanija sarva shakti tatrapida nimida smaranena kala edadrishitava kripa bhagavan mamabhi durdeivamidrashamiha janinanuragaham trunaramishuni chena tharoravi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtanya tadahari Nathanam na janam na sundarim kavidam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani ishwari bhavadal bhakti rahai dugitvai ahi nanda tanyuja kinkaram patidamam shami bhavambudau కృపయా తవ పాద పంకజ స్థిత ధూళి సదృశం విచిందయ నయనం గలద శుధారయ వదనం గద్గద రుద్ధయా గిర పుళగర్జితం గదావభూతం నామగ్రహణే భవిష్యతి యుగాయుధం నిమేషేణ చక్షుషా ప్రావిశాయినం శూన్యాయుధం జగత్సర్వం గోవింద విరహేణ మే ఆశ్లిష్య వా పాదరదాం వినష్టు మాం అదర్శనం మర్మహదాం కరోతు వా యథా తథా వా విదదాదులం మల్ప్రాణనాథాస్తు నైవ నాపర సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. So we're saying that vairagyam has to come first, and that vairagyam has to come. How will vairagyam come first? Vivegam is required. Vivegam means power of discrimination, able to look at the life, what this life is about, right? And what Guru does is that he wakes up this vairagyam in a vivegam in a person and make him understand that. So the thing is that that's all a guru can do. What guru does to us is, inside us, this vivegam is also a power from the soul. From Andaryami comes vivegam. Vivegam means able to look at this world and look at our life and think about this body and start thinking, what am I doing here? Where, what is me? Who is me? Who am I? That question comes there. So, but one who does not have this vivekam, it has not come up in a person, to him, talking to him from Shastram is not going to help very much. It won't help him at all. Just like, suppose I am blind, and if you show me a mirror and ask me to look at my picture, look at me in the mirror, it doesn't help. In the same way, if I don't have that vivekam inside, and if I am Shastram is spoken, Shastram doesn't make any, is not of much help to him. Just like a blind person, if you show him a mirror, it is not of much use to him. In the same way, if a person doesn't have a vivekam, vivekam means the power of discrimination, if you tell him the Shastram all the time, if the Vivekam Shakti has not come up inside, it's not going to help very much. Yasya nasti swayam prajna, Shastram tasya karoti kim, lojanadyam vihinasya, darpana kim karishari. Upanishad verse it is. Upanishad is saying that yasya nasti swayam prajna, if his prajna has not woken up, prajna means bodham, if he is not conscious of life, Shastram tasya karoti kim. What can Shastram help him? Why? Lochanadhyam vihinasya darpana kim karishari. If one person is blind, what can a mirror help in the same way? Right? So, so this prajna, that this means waking up inside. And for him, Shastram will, upon whom in this prajna has woken up, for him, Shastram will help, right? So the first thing is that the prajna has to wake up first inside the bodham, right? Bodham is that prajna. How will that wake up? This vivekam, what we call, these are different words in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. They will use different words, more or less referring to the same thing. Vivekam is nothing but buddhi, thinking in the right direction, right? Another word used is Manisha. Another Manisha Manjaka is coming from that. Manisha is the word used there. Then another word used is Medha Shakti. Medha, capacity to think like that, right? So, and everybody has got it. But only thing, it is in a very dormant state. It has not woken up. It is in a dormant state, right? When this vivekam, that shakti, when it wakes up, the immediately you can notice a change in that person. How is that? Shraddha comes. Once vivekam has woken up inside, you can think about all these things. You will understand what I'm saying. If vivekam comes in a person, the effect of that the change in him happens in this way, Shraddha comes first. Shraddha comes, right? Shraddha means what? You will think about it, life in a different way. Most of the people are caught up in the family, family life, and that keeps them busy for day and night. There's no time to think about anything else, right? But slowly you will start becoming a little bit detached from the world outside, family around, world around, and start thinking about yourself first. What am I here doing for, right? And in other words, you will start thinking, what do I have to do here? Because in everyone knows very well, this family life, this job, and this social life, all this is all on the surface only. It's not affecting you. You are just doing it because society wants you to do it and you are doing it. Beyond than that, it doesn't mean anything more than that. While living in a society, you have to follow certain rules and you are following the rules of the society. But ultimately, none of this is of any benefit to you at the time of death. Family cannot help you, money cannot help you, the job cannot help you, society cannot help you. You are on your own at that time. And then you start thinking and you are going to another place where it is totally different, where it's going to be, you don't know even. So naturally, if you properly understand what Krishna is saying here, that if you start thinking in that direction, that there is something more to life than all this family, money-making, job and all that, then you are coming to some Shraddha is coming in you. That's called Vivekam. Vivekam is able to think in a different direction than the stereotyped thinking of thinking that family life, job, money, this is the only life. Most of the people are caught up in that system, right? So when you start thinking about yourself and thinking that what is this life about, that's when the Shraddha comes. And it is at that time Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, Atmanyev Atmano Bandhu, Atmaiv Ripur Atmana. That verse applies at that moment. Bhagavad Gita verses are so subtle that Atmanyev Atmano Bandhu, Atmaiv Ripur Atmana. That verse makes sense at that point, right? Sixth chapter, Krishna says that, right? You become a friend of yourself at that time. Until then, you are not your friend. You are not your own friend till then. When you start thinking in this way, when this prajna wakes up inside, through vivekam wakes up, comes in, prajna wakes up, shraddha comes, medha shakti comes, and thinking about yourself beyond these things, like family life, money, job and all these things, and able to think beyond than that, at that time you can say that, right? At this moment, our Atma is our enemy. Atmaiva Nyatmano Bandhu, Atmaiva Ribur Atmana. That line you have to take it out and properly break it up and you will see this. When does Atma becomes your friend? When does Atma becomes your enemy? At the time when you are busy with the worldly activities and absorbed in all the vyavaharam in this world, family life, job, money, things like that, Atma is Iribu. It's your enemy. Because he's not helping you. That Shakti, you have got the Shakti inside, but it's not operating. Vivekam is not operating. Medha Shakti is not there. Shraddha is not there. Shraddha is all in the world. At that time, Atma is your enemy. Atmaivani Atmano Bandhu, Atmaiva Ribur Atmana. Whereas the moment it wakes up inside and you start thinking in this direction, then Atma becomes your friend, Krishna says. Atma becomes your friend, right? In other words, when you start thinking about elevating yourself, Uddhared Atman Atmanam, Atmanev Avasadayat, Atmanev Atmanobandhu, Uddhared Atman Atmanam. When you start thinking about elevating yourself in that direction, right? In other words, that Shraddha inside you becomes favorable for you, for your spiritual path, and it wants to do something good for you, for the self, right? And you start preparing yourself for that. That means you are coming into the spiritual path then. Otherwise, you are not in the spiritual path, right? So, and that is called that Vivekam. Vivekam, Krishna calls it that, right? So, in order that Vivekam to happen, Vishadam is required. That's why Bhagavad Gita begins with Vishada Yoga. Bhagavad Gita is our life in this world. It is so closely connected to our spiritual self-realization, right? So that Vishada Yogam is the first step. One has to suffer in the world, right? That is the normal method, normal way of life in this world. If you get a lot of distress in life, right, the jiva will start asking this, right? Why so much distress coming in my life, right? Dukkham dukkhaya syad, right? And you will see that Upanishad is saying that dukkham or distress in life, right? If it comes one after the other in life, Vedam says so, Shruti says this, right? Actually, dukkham, distress comes in life, not with the idea of putting us to suffering. That's not the idea behind it, right? Ramatirtha, Swami Ramatirtha used to say this, he says that when dukkham comes, he says, right, if you properly look at it, you will see there is Krishna's signature behind it. Krishna's signature behind it, right? So if you carefully look at it somewhere, you will find the Krishna signature there, right? Because when Krishna gives a distress to us, because everybody is not feeling distress, only few people who are suffering heavily in this world, they feel the distress. So when you feel the distress, and you start thinking, why is distress coming to me like this? And why I am not getting, why Krishna is against me? When these things, thoughts are coming inside, right? So when Krishna sends a distress to us, there is some code behind it, right? Distress is not just to put us in distress. That's not the idea. Why is that? What does distress mean? Distress means that, what does distress mean? Distress means that something that's not giving me any happiness in life, right? Or somebody leaves you in this world, you feel distressed about it, right? This is how distress in life, for example, people leave you in this world, you feel distressed. Or your body gets very sick, you feel very distressed. Or so many other distresses happens to someone who is very close to you, suffering in life. That creates distress, right? Or if they get sick, or some problems, right? And our own body, if it gives a lot of trouble, you get distressed, right? So, or people who have left you, who are very close to you, they have left you, it creates distress, right? So, Kapila Maharshi, if you look into Bhagavadam, Bhagavadam is very interesting in these things. It says here that the, if you look into the 27th chapter, Kapila Maharshi says this. एवं प्रत्यवमृष्यासाम् आत्मानं प्रतिपद्यते साहंकारस्य द्रव्यस्य यो अवस्थानं अनुग्रह. See that verse? Bhagavadam is amazing sometimes. You know why? Because, first of all, Vedavyasa Maharshi wrote Bhagavadam in Samadhi state. He wrote Bhagavatam in Samadhi state. Vallabhacharya also says that, Samadhi Bhasha, he calls it, right? Because it was written in Samadhi, there is no proper order for anything in Bhagavatam. Have you noticed that? There is no proper order in a way things are spoken, right? He will keep saying something, and while saying, right in the middle, there will be some jewel message. Very powerful message will appear in the middle. Here you can see in this Pragati Purusha Vivega Yogam it is, this chapter, right? Saptavimshe tadasamyak bahusadhana bhedada Pum prakritiyo vivegena moksha riti nirupyate. Shridharacharya Swami says that, right? How moksham is discussed through prakriti purusha viveka yoga. And that's what is discussed in all these verses. So, right up to the verse 16, Krishna is talking about prakriti and purusha. And in the middle he brings this one line. Kapila Maharshi says, sahangarasya dravyasya yo avasthanam anugraham. One statement like that. What does he mean by that? He's saying that when you read Bhagavatam, right? When you read Bhagavatam, suddenly you will find statements like this, which is totally independent from the rest of it, from the rest of the things, right? And you need to have certain maturity to identify them. Otherwise, you won't. The reason for that is because it was written in Samadhi state. Vedavyasa Maharshi's Samadhi state, he compiled Bhagavatam. So don't expect Bhagavatam to be like a normal book. When you write, you have a certain order of presenting things, which is not there in the Bhagavatam. It's not there. Okay. After writing the book, you have classified it Sargam, Visargam, Sthanam, Porshanam and all that. But the book was not written like the way we write books in this world, in a certain chronological way or in a certain subject-wise, in a progressive way. He has made this statement right in the beginning of Bhagavatam itself. Sahangarasya dravyasya yo avasthanam anugraham, he says, right? So that is why if you only look at the commentaries on Bhagavatam, sometimes you will find a little difficult, because then you must have heard the statement, Bhaktiya Bhagavatam Yeyam. Only through bhakti you understand Bhagavatam. Why? This is the problem. That the statements at different places are not the place there it should be. For example, if you are giving very profound statements on self-realization, it has to be spoken in a particular way, in a particular place. No. Right in the middle of other things what was spoken, Prakriti Purusha Vivegam is talking, and in between he inserts this statement. Sahangarasya Dravyasya Yo Avasthanam Anugraham. Right? So, Sahangara Dravya means that anything that gives you happiness in this world, anything, you will have your ahangaram there. That's what it means. Sahangarasya dravyasya, anything that gives you happiness, whether it's money, whether it's a job, whether it's your family, whether it's your birth, whatever it may be, if it is giving you some happiness inside, you can take it that your ahangaram is present in that, right? And that can be material world, material objects in this world, car, home, possessions, whatever it may be, right? Or it can be individuals in this world, personalities, or knowledge in this world. All these three things, the vastu, vyakti and knowledge, all these things can become a cause of ahangaram. That's what he's saying here. Sahangarasya dravyasya. And dravya, kriyam, kriya, bhavam, three things, right? Dravya. In all these three planes, dravya, dravyam, kriya, bhavam. Do you understand what it means? Dravyam is a solid thing in this world, like possessions and wealth and things like that. Kriya means kind of work what you do and your activities. And similarly, in your mind, bhavam. Dravya, kriyam, bhavam. In these locations, in all these three planes, your ahangaram is present, right? So this is the language of the Bhagavatam, right? Dravya Kriya Bhavam. These three locations, your ahangaram, our ahangaram is distributed in these three locations, right? So if you have asakti, asakti means attachment somewhere, to something, that vastu you will give you happiness. It give you some happiness. And that's why you are attached to it. Right? And if you are able to give up that vastu, then that jiva is able to benefit itself a lot from that. Something that is very close to you, and if you are able to give it up. You remember Krishna said the same thing in the Bhagavatam about Yadyadishtadamam Loge, he says. Why did he say like that? Because he knows that. This is the principle behind that. Sahangarasya Dravyasya Yo Avasthanam Anugraham. It becomes your anugraham. So ahangaram is in these three places. In the kriya, in the vastu, in the kriya, in the activities and in the bhava. So where those are the places where your attachment is very strong. And if you are able to give up that, your avasthanam anugraham, it becomes a blessing. And it is on this principle Krishna spoke that verse. Yadyadhishtadamam loge. Otherwise, why should Krishna say like that? Krishna says, if you have £1 billion, give me $500 million. He could have said like that. He didn't say like that. He says, Yadyadhishtadamam loge. Yachadi priyamalpana. What is pleasing you much, give it to me. So that you become free from your ahangara. That's the idea behind it. So two subtle things to understand. Yadyadhishtadamam loge, yachadi priyamalpana. Tattan nivedayan mahyam. Anandaya kalpade. He says, you will make tremendous progress from that. Because Krishna is saying, that's where your ahangaram is. That means you will become free from your ahangaram. He's saying, that's what Krishna is saying in that. How to become free from the ahangaram? Ahangaram is the whole problem, isn't it? So here, sorry, Krishna is saying that these two verses are together now. Which one? This verses. Sarvada panibadam dal sarvadoksha shiromukham sarvada shrimal loge sarvam avritya tishtari. That one. And the next one. Sarvendriya gunavasam sarvendriya vivarjitam asaktam sarvabhrachayva nirgunam gunabhoktracha. So, sarvendriya gunabhasam. Sarvendriya gunabhasa means that none of our senses can touch him. None of the senses can touch him, Brahma, soul, right? But staying behind every sense, through senses, it's him who is coming out. Behind all the senses, it's him. And through the senses, it's him who is coming to the world outside. That is why you see that verse. Sarvendriya gunabhasam, sarvendriya vivarjitam, asaktam sarvabhrutchaiva, nirgunam gunabhoktracha. Asaktam means he is not connected to anything, no attachment or no identification with anything. He's not connected to anything, right? Sarvadrik, sarvabhrat, and he knows everything what is going on, right? And nirgunam guna bhoktracha. So all senses are working because of him. Because of him, all senses are working. At the same time, he is not in contact with any senses. Trying to explain this thing called consciousness, it's a difficult thing to properly to get understanding of that. Yeah? He is independent of all senses, but he is coming through the senses to the world. At the same time, he is not touched by the senses. He is not joining anybody with anything, but he controls everybody. Even though he is free from all modes of nature, He is He is not touched by the modes of nature. Nirgunam gunabhoktraja. He is gunabhoktava, but he is nirgunam. This is all the soul we are talking about. Nirgunam gunabhoktraja. Asaktam sarvabhutchaiva. And sarvendriya gunabhasam, sarvendriya vivarjidam. Asaktram sarvabhutchaiva. Nirgunam gunabhoktraja. So, Acharya Swamiji's bhashyam on that. Sarvendriya gunavasam sarvanija tani indriyani shrotradini buddhi indriya karmendriyakhyani antakaraneja buddhi manasi jnayo ubhadityasya tulyatval sarvendriya grahanena grihyante abhija antakaranam ubhadidvarena eva shrotradina abhi ubhadityam iti. In other words, Brahman or Antaryami inside is known because senses are working. When you see some senses are working in people, you have to take it that Antaryami is inside. And all the five senses of knowledge, Jnanendriyam, five senses. And similarly, all the senses of action, Karmendriyam, five senses of knowledge, five senses of action. Then Buddhi. Then the mind, all of them combined together is Sarvendriyam. So when they say Sarvendriyam, it includes all that. Sarvendriya gunam abhasam. It's abhasam. It's cheshta, in other words. Right? And so all the senses, they are working because the subtle body is there. And in that subtle body, that's the upadhi, isn't it? Mind, intelligence, ego, and the chittam. It is through that upadhi, the ear, the eyes, all other senses are connected to that. It's not. All the senses are connected with the subtle body. Whatever senses brings in, experiences in the subtle body. That means there is a close connection between the subtle body and the senses. Senses go into the world, bring the world inside us, and the experience is inside the subtle body. So, he's saying here that all these things when it is happening, asaktam, he is not affected by anything, any of these things. And nirgunam gunabhoktraja, in other words, three modes of material nature, sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, does not affect him. It affects a subtle body, but it does not affect him. So, in the form of jiva, that Antaryami, Brahman, Paramatma, in the form of jiva, he experiences sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. In the form of jiva only. In the form of jiva, the Antaryami experiences sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. That's what that word means. Nirgunam gunabhoktraja. He is nirgunam from the Antaryami's level, but gunabhoktava or bhoktraja in the jiva level. You see that? Krishna is trying to get the point across to us that Antaryami is real. Jiva is a temporary thing. Jiva bhavam is only because of Antaryami. Antaryami is the real thing. But jiva is a temporary thing. And this jiva bhavam exists only in the vacant state, in the dream state only. And at that stage, jiva has got this nature. So Krishna is saying to us that Antaryami is nirgunam, not touched by the modes of nature. In the jiva bhavam, guna bhoktraja. Three modes of nature affects him. That's what he's saying. Sarvendriya gunabhasam, sarvendriya vivarjidam, asaktam sarvabhutchaiva, nirgunam gunabhoktraja. Beautiful verses in the Bhagavad Gita, right? So, when you hear these words, because they are all so subtle, that when you hear that itself, you will see that I can't understand this, what it is saying. No matter how hard you explain, still it is not, we are not getting it. You say like that, isn't it? I'm not getting it. Say, right? In fact, these verses are not for understanding also. This is not for understanding. These verses is meant for meditation. Meditation, right? So, because this verse has to work in a different way in us. In other words, we have to keep realizing these verses inside. In other words, when you read these verses, you have to start thinking that everything what I am seeing, actually Krishna is seeing from inside, that bodham has to come to us. Rather than thinking that I am seeing, I am enjoying, I am tasting, I am touching, all that has to go. Krishna is doing from inside. It is Krishna who is seeing, it's Krishna who is hearing, Krishna who is smelling, Krishna is touching. Actually, everything Krishna is doing. In order to bring that awareness inside, that is the important thing, right? And we have to keep repeating this to ourselves and change our current way of thinking. At the moment we are thinking, I am doing this, I am doing that, I am tasting, I am enjoying, and I am suffering, and all the five senses, whatever it is doing, I am thinking, I am doing it. No, Krishna is doing it. Because if Krishna is not there, this is not happening. Krishna, in the form of Jiva, is experiencing it. But and if Krishna is not there, which is the Antaryami, is not there, there is no Jiva either. Jiva can do all these things only in the presence of Krishna inside, as Antaryami. That's the point. And the same thing you will see, Kapila Maharshi said this to Devahuti Devi in the Kavilam. Also the same thing he has spoken, right? So he said that if you look at that verse, in the same 29th chapter, verse, he's talking about 27, 28, all those verses, is the same principle, what is spoken there, right? Athamam sarveshu bhudeshu, athamam sarvabhudeshu bhudalpanam kridalayam, arhaye dhanamanabhyam, maitreya abhinena chakshusha. Why that verse is so important? It is because of this, right? He's saying, athamam sarvabhudeshu bhudalpanam kridalayam, arhaye dhanamanabhyam, maitreya abhinena chakshusha. He said that in all the bodies, Krishna is present. In everybody, Krishna is present as Antaryami, right? And wherever you find a life, Jiva, think of that Jiva as me. Kapila Maharshi is saying that. Arhaye dhanamanabhyam maitreya abhinena chakshusha. You have to look at it that way. Whenever you see life in everyone, you have to realize that Krishna's presence in that person. If you realize that, then what does that mean? And worship them in that way, all other jivas in this world. And there was it's a difficult thing to bring it in practical life. Therefore, Krishna told us at the end of Bhagavatam, Visarjas Mayamanan Swan Vrisham Dridamja Dehigim Praname Dandavad Bhuma Ashva Chandala Khogaram. To get this realization is difficult. It may take a very, very long time. You look at yourselves, right? You study all these things and you say that it's what Krishna is saying is perfect. But then, as soon as you close the book and you see someone, immediately inside us, either love or hate comes towards that person. So this is where we are. Our position is like that. Yeah? Because of all the vasanas what we have created, ragadvesham inside, these verses all looks very theoretical. Krishna is saying, Kapila Maharshi is saying this here, till you see it like this, you have no spiritual life, they are saying to us. Mahatmanam kritalayam arhaya dhanamanabhyam maitreya abhinena chakshusha. He says, if you are not seeing like that, there is no spiritual life. Where is the spiritual life? All other things, putting the garland and putting the offering, the obeisances, all secondary things. This is the primary thing, basic thing. Krishna's point is, self-realization means all these things. Seeing Krishna's presence in every jiva. And that jiva is nothing but Krishna is present inside. Therefore that jiva is there. Right? So, realized soul will teach us these things. How to treat others. How to treat others, right? So, once there was this Seshadri Swamiji's story in the Tirunamalai, that people caught hold of him. And because everybody told him that, you know, they knew that he was a very advanced person. Spiritually he was, because he didn't care for this body, he has no connection with the body, he lived like that. And it was openly people observed that, not concerned about the body at all, right? So some devotees decided that we should worship him. You know, like our nature is like that, isn't it? If a lot of people say to us that somebody is very spiritual, what do we do first? Either we'll get him and put him on a pedestal and start off putting all the different abhishekam for him. We'll arrange that. Or make a big cake and made him to eat, even if he doesn't want to. We'll force him to eat and then we'll wash his feet. In our own way, we'll do things. What we like to do. Because I want to eat the cake, so this is an opportunity. I could make a big cake and give it to him. And I also feel to the world, tell the world, look, I am worshipping him. So this worship and all is only like that. It's not making any other sense. That because we want to do some things in our own way, we do that. Right? So the same thing they did to the Seshadri also. Seshadri didn't want any of these things because he is not in that mood of the people, right? But people are like that. You observe this in the people's nature. As long as there is a festival, we'll have to get the deities first and get all kinds of deities. The world is full of deities now, more than the people. Everywhere you look, there is deities there. All those big temples with so much deities, they are standing there. And still, deity manufacturing is going on in a big scale. And more deities are coming into this world. People like all that, and then they carry the deity on the head, they carry the deity everywhere, they want to install the deities. They don't realize is that it's all going to be a burden later. Who's going to look after all these deities? You installed so many deities. Tomorrow, who will care? Who's going to look after? Already it has happened to many, many, many temples. They're standing there. Nobody has to take notice of them, take care of them. They're just standing there. So, it's not but because of this avidya inside, not understanding things properly, and they are thinking that if I open a temple, Krishna will be very happy, or if I install the deity. But you also have to look at the other side of it, that you install the deities and tomorrow if there's nobody to look after the deities and do the deity worship, what will happen to those temples? What will happen? It will just idly standing there. The whole thing goes waste, right? So, anyway, all this deity worship, you have to be a bit careful. Anyway, what Kamala Maharshi is saying here is that Arhaya Dhanamanabhyam Maitreya Abhinayana Chakshusha. Through that verse, he is saying that you can do all this worship, but if you don't see Krishna in all the living beings, present as jiva, and if you won't offer respect to that, then you are not understood anything about it. Anything about it. So, with the Seshadri, what they did was, the ignorant people, they are always there everywhere. The ignorant ones will get together and they will arrange one abhishek for Seshadri. They arranged that, right? And they brought something like 100 pots of water, and poured on his head, and he got sick. What else will you get? He got sick, right? So, he told them that I don't want all these things, but they won't listen. Such good disciples he has got. These disciples cause problems sometimes. Disciples will decide how they should worship the Guru. And Guru becomes a prisoner in the hands of the disciple, right? So, So therefore, intelligent people who have good proper spiritual understanding, they won't fall into all these kind of things. It won't be of much of a interest for them. So, and what happens, other people who see this, they think this is how we have to do it. You know how the world is outside. When they see such things, they'll start thinking, oh, this is how I have to do it. And then what does he do? He orders another set of deities for home. A new set of deities come. And then he does it for some time, but it's not getting anywhere. It's going on like this for a long time. So, and many Mahatmas, they won't agree with all these kind of things, right? And so, there are interesting things. Maharshi was there, Ramana Maharshi was living that time. People used to come to him, they want to worship him. And he said, no, I don't need all these kind of things, right? And once one, you know how it is in the ashrams, how people come. And so one wanted to do a puja for him. So he wrote on the wall, I don't want any pujas. Because he was silent at that time, he didn't want to say anything, right? Sometimes people will come and circumambulate around the spiritual personalities, right? So once Maharshi said like this, look at my situation, he says, I'm sitting here, I'm busy with my own spiritual life, and these people come and give me this kind of respect, right? If it is, if I'm only a person, one person, think about the deity in the temple, how much he has to tolerate with their worship, he said. So, so seeing Krishna's presence is more important, recognizing that more than this worship, right? So that samadarshitvam, what Krishna spoke about that, seeing the presence of Krishna in everyone is more important. And it is for that purpose that this verse, this two verses, to see Krishna's presence in everyone as Antaryami and Jiva. Antaryami's presence and Jiva's presence, both. It is with that intention these two verses were spoken. Sarvam sarvada pani padam tal sarvadokshi shiromukam sarvada shrimal loge sarvam avrutya tishtati sarvendriya gunabhasam sarvendriya vivarjitam asaktam sarvabrachayva nirgunam gunamuktracha. These two verses is to wake up this awareness inside us that Krishna is present in everybody. Right? So, after saying that, and it's the same thing in Upanishads also. Krishna's take, these are all Upanishad verses, basically, right? And so, Sarvendriya Vivarjitam means sensual activities does not exist in Brahma. Yetu ayam mantraha apani pado javano grahida pashyada chakshusa shrunotya karnaha chedashodara upanishad ityadisa sarvendriya upadhi gunanu gunyam bhajana shaktimat tatnyayam iti evam pradarshanartho nadu sakshad eva javanadi kriyavatuha pradarshanartha. Upanishad says that without hands and legs, it can travel, Brahma. And without eyes, it can see. Without ear, it can hear. And in other words, Brahma or consciousness can has got the capacity to do all the things what senses are doing without its presence. I don't know whether you get that. You see, normally we think that only if we have the senses we can see things, we can hear things, we can touch things, we can taste things, like that. Without them also, Brahman can do that. Brahman doesn't need senses. It is Jiva who needs senses. Get the point? Antaryami does not require any of that. Antaryami is conscious of everything what is going on in the creation. Antaryami hears everything. Antaryami sees everything. Antaryami, it's all experienced inside Antaryami. Jiva requires, Jiva, and it is in the form of Jiva, it has to operate through the senses. So, Jiva and the senses are connected. strongly, right? So, so that is what he is saying here. Then he mentioned there that the you will see that in the Ishopanishad, the same thing spoken. You look into the seventh verse in the Ishopanishad. Seventh mantra. Yasmin sarvani bhudani atmaivabhud vijanata tatra ko moha ka shokaha egatvam anupashyati. It is the same message here. Yasmin sarvani bhudani atmaivabhud vijanata tatra ko moha ka shokaha egatvam anupashyati. So, one who is able to realize this, that Atma is one, present in everybody, that's one, right? And actually what we are seeing is the Atma in another person, right? Not the body, right? Only thing, we are not aware of that. It is a difficult thing to explain this, because I'm seeing someone, right? What am I seeing, actually? I'm seeing Krishna's presence in that person. Suppose Krishna is not there in you. Body has, he has left the body. Antaryami has gone. What will I see? I won't be seeing you as a person anymore. I'll just see you as a lump of matter. Only when Krishna is present in you, so strictly speaking, I am seeing Krishna in you. In reality, it is like that, right? So, for example, let's understand this. A husband and wife is living together for a long period of time. They stayed together, right? And after, say, 10 years after the marriage, when you got married, you had taken a photograph after the marriage, husband and wife together, and you kept that photo with you, right? And now you are looking at each other, and you are looking at the photo also. You are looking at each other now, and then you are looking at the photo as well, right? And you find that there is no connection between you and the photograph. Because in that photo you were young. And now after, say, 10, 20 years later, you're looking at each other and you're thinking, we are the same people who are in the photograph? You get confused at that time. You start thinking like that, right? Because both of them have changed. Husband has changed, wife has changed, right? Their form has changed, right? So, if we look at it, from the Shastram point of view, by 10-15 years, the husband and wife who got married, they don't exist anymore. Although we will celebrate wedding anniversary and all that. You see the avidya inside us, how it works. It's like the birthday, another nonsense it is, this wedding anniversary, right? That husband and wife who got married doesn't exist anymore. They are gone. There is another relationship now between husband and wife. You're thinking like that, right? The wife who got married, she doesn't exist. Neither the husband who got married also doesn't exist, right? In other words, every cell in the body has changed, right? And similarly, if you look at it, your way of thinking has also changed. The man and the woman, when they got married, what thoughts were in their mind has gone now. Now you are thinking, both husband and wife are thinking completely different, right? So similarly, all your thoughts in the mind, that means buddhi has changed, body has changed, mind has also changed. Chittavrittis have all changed, right? But I am saying that I got married to her 10 years ago. I am saying this, right? And last 15 years or 20 years, we are together. We say like this. Who is with whom? You have to ask the question, who is with whom? The people who got married, they have gone after 5-6 years. They both changed so much. Body changed, mind changed, intelligence changed, everything changed. Here you have a new set of people now. But they are still saying that I got married to him 15 years ago, right? And they are saying that last 15 years we are together, they are saying, right? And I am saying that oh, nothing has changed, everything is the same, right? Why do you say like that? We are still together. Why do we say like that? Even though body has changed, mind has changed, intelligence has changed, you're still saying we are together. Where is that coming from? Yeah. So when you look at it from the Shastram side, right? Everything has changed. Shastram is saying body has changed, mind changed, intelligence has changed, right? But that changes what has happened in the body, mind and intelligence has not changed your bodham. Bodham has not changed, right? So, you are still thinking in your bodham level that you are still in contact with that person whom you met 15 or 20 years ago. That is, through the heart you are thinking like that. In your heart. That connection is still there, right? So, that means that connection through the heart. That in awareness, in bodham, you have that connections. You felt that way, right? But not through the body or the mind or the intelligence. So, what it is saying is that when you have a feeling, a connection like that, if you do feel a connection like that, it's actually through Atma. Atma recognizes the another Atma in another person. It's not seeing the body. So, Atma is the Satta. Satta means the essence, right? So, essence is feeling the essence in the another person. Essence is feeling, which is not coming from the body or the mind or the intelligence. It's a little time you have to spend to think about this, right? So, so that is why after 15, 20 years, you are still feeling there is some connection with that person, because in the hrit, in the heart, Atma's connection with the Atma is still felt at that point. At that point. That's why, even though body has changed, mind has changed, intelligence has changed, whole form has changed, still there is a connection feeling. Where is that coming from? That's the connection with the Atma. So that's what I'm saying, that when you are dealing with a person, with another person, it's the Atma relationship with the another Atma, not on the bodily level. But we are not able to recognize it in the normal life. Anyway, because we live in the world of senses, right? Due to that, there is a brahmam, confusion inside us, a misunderstanding. What is that? Body is in connection with another body. It's a brahmam. Even though body has changed, we are still saying that I knew him 10 years ago and talking everything in terms of the body, but actually it is not so, because the body has changed, right? And because of this brahmam inside us, we are not willing to accept the real person inside the Antaryami. Satta, that's what it's called, right? Actually what we are seeing in everyone is the Satta, but when you are not seeing that Atma presence in others, and if you don't see that Atma present in others, then no technique, no method or yoga process, you will be able to see the Atma. in another person. If you are not first accepting this, that Atma in another person is important. Suppose you are not accepting that, then whatever yoga process you follow or whatever technique you apply, you will never be able to relate with him, relate with that person. Yeah. So, so right at this moment, if you accept that, that actually Atma is present in another person, only then you will be able to make the progress in the spiritual life. That is why Krishna is saying these things. That first you have to recognize the presence of Atma in others. And in order to make us aware of that, he mentioned in these verses to think in a different direction. Rather than normal thinking everything through body, 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 Krishna is saying to us that you are identifying with something which is not real. But falsely, you are thinking that the body is real. And you are habituated to explaining everything through the body. Even though it's a misunderstanding. And the best example, Krishna, is this. That the married couple, initially they are married 10-15 years ago. And that couple doesn't exist anymore. As far as body is concerned. You see now. Sometimes there's so many interesting things like this about married life, right? Some couple get very, very old. They become 90 and 95 and all that. And people come to see and talk to them about it. So, and they are telling them that, you know, how long were you married? So husband is asking the wife, how long are we married? He can't remember anything. She also can't remember anything because the both are so old that they can't remember. So, marriage and all is only an external thing that has happened in some time in the, during their life in this world. And when you get so old, you'll forget all these things. Date you got married, where you got married, when you got married, all this is gone from the head. Because it's all in the mind and the intelligence. But there is a feeling inside that that person has stayed with me for a long time. That's all they know, nothing more than that. Yeah. So, in the same way, is that means that when they met each other, the Atma in one person has recognized the presence of Atma in the other. And that awareness stayed, presence to Atmas. One Atma recognized the presence of another Atma in another body. And that's all what is staying with them now. All other things have gone from the awareness, bodham, right? So, there's a beautiful answer from Maharshi on this. Somebody asked Maharshi about this. Maharshi said that, you say that all the realized soul, they see everything as Atma. Everything is seen as Atma. He said, not. They asked Maharshi like that. Maharshi's answer was very good. He said, he said, what I am seeing is all what you are seeing. The same thing I am seeing. But the interesting thing is, you are something seeing something more than what I am seeing, he said. That's a very good answer. You understand? That you are seeing something more than what I am seeing. He's saying that I am only seeing the Atma in that person. I am not seeing the body. Whereas, you are seeing Atma, but you are seeing more than that something, including your body, mind, senses and everything. Right? And similarly, his emotions, thoughts, all these things. In other words, personality, vyaktitvam, individuality, you are seeing that. Yeah. So, because when I see you, he said, right, because the reason is that I get some thought waves inside. When you see a person, some thoughts, emotions come, right? Because body is working, mind is working, intelligence is working, right? Suppose you don't look at body, mind, senses or anything. What do I see then? Yeah? Because of the body, mind, senses and all that, I get ragam, dvesham, everything. Just like, if I see a person, living person, right? it will create some thought waves inside me about that person. It's natural. Ragadvesham will be there. If I go to the temple and see the deity, I don't feel any ragadvesham there. Why? Is it not? Is it not interesting? That if I see a person, living person in this world, I will have some ragadvesham will come inside me. But if I go to the temple and see the deity, I'm not feeling any ragadvesham. I'm just seeing its stone there. And therefore, and I'm told that it is Krishna or it's Vishnu or Rama or whoever it may be, right? So, even though in our body and the mind, there is so many problems, if you are only seeing the Chaitanyam in that form, right, then in our consciousness, we will not lose that yoga state. That's the point Krishna is making here, right? So, yoga state means samatvam yogamuchyate. Why am I not feeling samatvam now? Because ragadvesham inside. One person is friend, one person is enemy, one person is good, one person is bad. All these thoughts will naturally start coming inside. Whereas I won't feel any such feeling if I go into the temple. When you see the deity, it's fine, Krishna is there. No ragadvesham there. So, to understand this point, that this yoga state, what we are talking about, right? Even though I have a lot of problems with my body and the mind, when you are looking at the deity, you are thinking that it is Krishna is present in that deity. That's the way you are looking at it. Krishna, whom you have heard about from Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, is present in a form there. And there you don't feel any ragadvesham there, towards the deity. You can think about it, right? So, this way of seeing, right, this way of seeing, that not with ragadvesham, everybody in this world, this technique is spoken in the Upanishad, and it is called Anvikshiki Vidya. You will see in the first canto, third chapter, spoken about this. This is how Bhagavatam is. Bhagavatam will bring the Upanishad's message at different locations in different ways. If you look into the first canto, in the third chapter, he's talking about Prahlada, who has developed this technology perfectly, which is called Anvikshiki Vidya. If you look into the third chapter, in the 11th verse, Shashte Atreyarapatyatvam Vrida Praptvana Suyaya Anyukshigi Alarkaya Prakladadibya Ujivan. That verse, yeah. Anyukshigi Vidya, it is called. This technique of seeing only the soul in someone, not the form. Form not having any effect on you. Namarubam has not. Separating Namarubam from the soul, and only seeing the soul, right? And it is because of this only, it is this Anvikshiki Vidya, what Narada Maharshi gave to Prahlada in the womb of Kayadhu. This Anvikshiki Vidya, it's called Anvikshiki Vidya. That not seeing the only seeing the Atma, not the body, not the Namam, not the Rupam, none of that. That means when you look at a person, only Atma present in that body, right? So that's what he's saying there. Anvikshigi Alarkaya Prahladadibya Uchivan. Prahlada was the best person for that. So it is because of this Anvikshigi Vidya of Prahlada that Hiranyakashipu had a problem. Hiranyakashipu's vision was not Anvikshigi. So, Hiranyakashipu was very strong physically. He looked at the body, everyone, and he was strong, right? And even including Indra got frightened about Hiranyakashipu. And when he lifted his sword, tried to kill Prahlada with his hand, and suddenly he couldn't do it. He couldn't hit Prahlada with the sword, right? Because both of them, Hiranyakashipu and Prahlada, are holding on to two different things. In the sense that Hiranyakashipu took the energy or the strength and he was trying to kill. Prahlada caught hold of Shandi. Shandi is Atma. Prahlada's Shakti is coming from Shandi. Hiranyakashipu's Shakti is coming from the Shakti side of the Brahma. Right? Both these things will come in front of us. Shakti and Shandi. Right? One who accepts Shandi, he is more powerful. One who accepts Shakti, he is weaker. He is weaker. Right? Hiranyakashipu accepted Shakti. Prahlada accepted Shandi. Which means, for Hiranyakashipu, matter is important. For Prahlada, consciousness is important. That's the difference between Prahlada and Hiranyakashipu. Prahlada, consciousness is important. Bodham is important, right? Chaitanya. For Hiranyakashipu, Bhaudiyam, Shakti, is important, right? Prahlada does not see Hiranyakashipu. He is seeing Krishna there. Only Atma. This is the difference in the vision, right? Whereas Hiranyakashipu in Prahlada sees him as his son and as well as his enemy. You see that difference? That's what that Anvichigi Vidya is. This Anvichigi Vidya, it is spoken in Upanishad separately as a Vidya. There are so many Vidyas in the Upanishad. Dehara Vidya, Upakosala Vidya, Akshapurusha Vidya. Different Vidyas spoken, which the Rishis have developed over due to their self-realization. Yeah, and they have given examples who have practiced to whom, what, at different levels. So Prahlada's strength is coming from this Anuchiki Vidya. That Bhagavatam, it mentioned like that and left it at that. But something to understand, that the spiritual life is too subtle for us sometimes to understand everything. Yeah, in our present state, because we have become, you know, like he said, isn't it? Vedavyasa Maharshi says, Mandasya Manda Prajnasya Vayo Mandai Shaschavai Nidreya Hrede Naktam Divaja Vyarthakarma Bhi. When we are like that, it is difficult to understand everything what Bhagavatam is saying in many places. Here and there, they will say like this, Anuchi Amarkaya Prahlada Adibhya Ujivan. So, that's that. Then, so this is the reason that between Prahlada and Hiranyakashipu, what that difference was, right? And Hiranyakashipu wanted to control the whole universe, right? And he did do that, going to the heavenly planets. Indra was frightened, and similarly, he took control of all the planetary systems, right? And that Hiranyakashipu, when he saw Prahlada, he couldn't do anything with him. He is not able to hate him also. He is not able to hate him, right? And at the same time, he is not feeling strong enough to fight with him, because when Prahlada looked at Hiranyakashipu, he is seeing Krishna inside, in Hiranyakashipu's inside, right? And if you are able, if we can get to that state, you are also free then. We have escaped from the problem, right? That means there is no more enemies in life. Once you have come to that state of realization, able to see Krishna in everybody, then you have no more enemies after that, right? So, with one look alone, you will be able to transform anyone, that they will not feel hatred towards you. If you are able to do that, then you are perfectly situated in the self-realization. So that is why they call this Ajata Shatru, one who has no enemies, right? So Therefore, Prahlada asked Hiranyakashipu in the Bhagavatam, asking this question, Kastve Balam, where do you get this strength? Right? Hiranyakashipu asked this to Prahlada. So Prahlada says, this Balam is not mine. Balam me Vaikuntha. It is Krishna's Balam. He is referring to Atma. That's what it means, right? It is neither mine nor yours. Both of you and me are the power of that Balam, Balams, right? And this power is not belongs to anyone. It is independent. We are all in the hands of that power. And if we realize that, you become free. And one who thinks that it is mine, this power, he is very weak, right? And on the other hand, one who thinks that I am an instrument in the hands of that power, then he is powerful. So that is how Prahlada answers that. If you look into the seventh canto, you will see that mentioned there. Yeah, Krishna is present everywhere in everything. And that was the Prahlada's strength. So, and that is the reason why Prahlada was given that name. Prakarshena Ahladam. Prakarshena Ahladam. Khladam, one who has got Khladam. Khladam means bliss. One who has got that is Prahlada. And what was the reason before that? Yatra yatra manoyadi brahmanaha tatra darshanam tatra tatra samadheha. That he has reached that stage. Yatra yatra manoyadi brahmanaha tatra darshanam tatra tatra samadheha. Vasudeva sarvamiti. That state, what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Samahatma sudurlabha. This is that state what he is talking about. Vasudeva sarvamiti. Right? And whoever comes, what Krishna is saying is, sarvada panibadam dal, sarvada okshi shiromagam, sarvada shrunmal loge, sarva mahavrtya trishtari. Right? So, whoever comes, sarvada panibadam dal, that Vasudeva, and that Vasudeva, who is that Vasudeva? What Krishna is saying here. If it is a form, then you cannot see it like that, right? On the other hand, Bhagavatam is saying this, that this explanation of that, that when you are seeing, if it is just a form, Prahlada didn't see in Hiranyakashipu a four-handed form of Vishnu inside Narayana form. That's not what he saw there. Right? That Vasudeva, you have to be conscious of all these things. Otherwise, when you are studying Bhagavatam, simply based on name and form, it won't get you anywhere. After some time, you will lose faith in everything. Sometimes people ask these questions, right? That in Hinduism they say you have got so many gods and so many forms. Are they all real? People will ask. They say you've got Ganesh with the elephant head. And similarly, Sri Parvati is traveling on a tiger. How do you understand all these things? It requires a lot of explanation to all these things, right? And then we get confused when they keep asking these questions, right? Because their concept is coming from, they've already decided in themselves that the truth has to be a person, one. And that person should be like us, form-wise. It is from there that they begin their concept of spiritual life. They begin like that. One, that it is a person, human body nature, and it should be like we are in the same way. Vedam doesn't accept that. Vedam says that truth is, Vedam, we are talking about the truth now, right? truth is a different layers in which platform you are at. In different mandalam, that's called mano mandalam, right? In different bhava mandalam, you are creating all these things. And depending on which mandalam you are, the different forms will come into that. So that there is a lot to say about that, right? We'll go into that later. But here now we are talking about Vasudev. Krishna is mentioning here that he is not seeing the 400 form of Vishnu basically. What he is seeing there is that, who is Vasudeva? Bhagavatam said that in the beginning itself to make it very clear. If you look into the second chapter itself, it mentioned Vasudeva Paraveda. Why did they put those verses there? Vasudeva Paraveda, Vasudeva Paramatha, Vasudeva Parayoga, Vasudeva Parakriya, Vasudeva Param Jnanam, Vasudeva Param Tapa, Vasudeva Paro Dharmam, Vasudeva Paragadi. They're saying like that, isn't it? The first canto itself. So, so what is Vasudeva? Why did they say like that? They didn't say it's a 400 form with conchal disc, club and lotus flower. Instead they put it like this. What Vasudeva is. So that you don't get trapped into the form and get completely confused with this. Because if you are, see, if you start only thinking that form is the only way it can be, then you will have a problem, because we are, then what happens is, only we will accept the truth only if it comes in that form in front of us. Otherwise you will say that, you know, you, any other thing, you won't be able to relate with that. So that is why this is difficult. So that is why you remember when Jadabharata spoke about it, what is Vasudeva is, right? Fifth canto, 12th chapter, 11th verse, how Vasudeva he defined. Jnanam, look at Jadabharata's definition of Vasudeva. Jnanam Vishuddham Paramartham Ekam Anandaram Tu Bahir Brahma Satyam Pratyak Prashantam Bhagaval Shabda Samyam Yad Vasudevam Kavayo Vadandi. This is the definition of Vasudeva. So, it is from that he is saying that he is pure knowledge, Jnana Surupam, right? And is not seen outside, but inside he is everyone, in everyone. And his presence is felt. And Jnanam Vishuddham Paramartham Ekam, and he is one. That Vasudeva is one, right? And what Upanishads are talking about, who is addressed by the devotees as Bhagavan, and that Chaitanyam, Bodham, he is Vasudeva. That is how Jadabharata said that. So Jadabharata said that, first canto, second chapter, Suta Goswami said that, and now the same thing, Krishna is also talking about it. You know, all these are difficulty because this kind of explanations is not in any other traditions, right? For them, for others, it's all a person, God, and they can only accept that. He is the creator, they will say. And they will also say that he has to look like us. You know this man, what's his name? Trevor Noah. Oh, yeah. You know the famous?
Yeah.
He went to India, right? And he said, so he's talking about how the British came to India first. You had to watch that to see the fun. So he says, we have come here to make you all surrender to the Queen. And you have, she is under the order of the God, he says. So the Indians asked him, which God? Says to him. So God, he says. So the people asked him, which God? What's his name? He says. God, he said. So you don't know the name of your God, says to him. You have to watch that. It's funny how he is making fun of the whole thing. You know how this goes like that. So it's just to make us understand that you can see from that the problem what happens when you simply start thinking there's only one person, God, living somewhere, controlling everything. Upanishads are not at all accepted in that way. Because God is, as Bhagavatam says, is that Vadandita Tattvavidam Tattvamya Jnanam Advayam. Advaya Jnanam it is. And if you move away from that and you start thinking, present a person only as God and he's only true, nothing else is, and completely ignoring the other side of it, then you may have a problem with all the Vedic literature. Difficult to explain it in another way, right? So the thing is that bodham, awareness in everyone, is Vasudeva, right? And without that Vasudeva inside, you cannot even experience the world outside, right? So one young man asked Vivekananda this question: have you seen God? With the same nature questions, right? So just like Vivekananda asked Paramahamsa when he was young, when he was Narendra, the same question, right? So Vivekananda's answer was, I have seen nothing but God, he said, right? If I have to see you, I have to see you through God. That was his answer, which is much more making sense than that consciousness inside us. It is because of that only I realize the existence of somebody else, right? So if I have to be if I have to see something, then I can see that object only through God. Consciousness, is it not? If consciousness is not there, I cannot see this. That's the important principle, right? If I have to see this world, I can only see it through consciousness, right? So, and this awareness inside, my existence, right, is the presence of Krishna. To recognize that, that's more important, right? So, in the Kapila Maharshi's teachings, you will see this mention: Ishvara Jiva Kalayo Pravishto Bhagavan Iti. That's how he concludes the Kapila. That famous statement it is: Ishvara Jiva Kalaya Pravishto Bhagavan Iti. It's saying, right? So, and it is, that is the same thing in the Bhagavad Gita: Aham Atma Gudakesha Sarva Bhutasheyastida Aham Adhyanja Madhyanja Bhutanam Andamevacha. Right? So, without that bodham is the one which makes everything existence. Reality comes from that bodham. Right? So, keeping all this understanding, you have to study these verses. You cannot explain those verses in any other way without this way. You cannot explain it. Right? So, through, if you have to see me, you have to see through Krishna, my existence. I have to see you, I have to see through Krishna, right? And through all the eyes, Krishna is looking at me. That's the way I have to come to that level of realization, right? And through all the ears, Krishna is hearing, right? So that is how it is. That is how it is. Right? And so these two verses are important for reflection, particularly to understand what Krishna is talking about, Kshetrajna, who Kshetrajna is. That's why they are important. Yeah? Sarvendriyam sarvada panivadam dal Sarvadokshi Shiromukham, Sarvada Shrimal Loge, Sarvam Avritya Dishtadi, Sarvendriya Gunabhasam, Sarvendriya Vivarjitam, Asaktam, Sarvavrchaiva, nirgunam
guna bhoktraja.
So with those two verses, having said that, then Krishna is moving into another level now about the same thing, right? So here he said that Brahman is not touched by the modes of nature. Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. But at the same time, he is present in everybody, inside and outside, moving and non-moving. And because he is so subtle, it's impossible to know him either. Right. He is closest to you and he is far away from you. So many things like that in the Bhagavad Gita, all these verses, right? He is closest to you, but he is far away from you. That is the next verse. Bahirandascha bhutanam acharam charam eva cha sushmatval tad avijñeyam durastam chandike chatal. Look at that verse, yeah? He's saying, sushmatva tad avijñeyam. He is the most subtle to know what he is. And he is so close to you, but at the same time, durastam chandike chatal. He is so far away from you. We'll discuss that tomorrow, that verse. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada.